The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And as I said, it's a Tuesday, November 13th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Philadelphia firefighter was injured after falling off of the roof of a home while battling a fire. It happened at 3 a.m. Tuesday at the two-story row home on the 5600 block of Spruce Street in West Philadelphia. Crews arrived to heavy smoke in the home. Just around 3:15, a firefighter fell 20 feet off of the roof. He suffered a head injury. The firefighter was taken to Penn Presbyterian Medical Center. They're now listing him in stable condition. Fortunately, he's going to be okay. They said he's pretty banged up, but should be okay. Officials have not said if there was anyone at home at the time of the fire. PGW and LNI were on the scene early this morning, along with police. Firefighters wrapped up at the scene this morning. The cause is still under investigation.
I would imagine if you're a firefighter and you're responding to a fire in a building and you have to go up onto the roof, the fear is always you're going to fall through or something's gotten weak, and it's happened countless times. I don't know how the hell they do it.
This guy slipped and fell off.
Yeah,
it was
wet
out, so that's a full all the way down drop.
Yeah, terrible. The ride-sharing services has some parents using Uber and Lyft to taxi their children around. However, it's against the policy of both companies and can prove to be unsafe. One local mother says that an Uber driver allegedly abducted her daughter, and even after he was charged, he continued to drive for the company for months. This woman says that it happened around 9:30 in the evening. It was a chilly night in March when an Uber driver picked up her 15-year-old daughter. The teen had just wrapped up a hair appointment, but said that the Uber ride quickly turned uncomfortable. I received multiple comments saying I was pretty, she said. The girl texted her mom as she was told to do so when she ordered the ride home. Her text said, I'm in an Uber. I feel uncomfortable.
So we talked about this on the air.
Did.
And we were kind of shocked to hear that a lot of parents were doing this. And they said that they were having success with it. Is there any provision that allows a parent to send their kid on with an Uber driver to get them to a destination using Uber or Lyft?
So both Uber and Lyft have a policy where minors are not allowed to use their services without a parent.
Okay.
But some busy parents are using the ride-sharing services to transport their kids to and from an event.
All right.
But this one incident, and I'm sure there's been there's probably been more than one, but
we had a whole bunch of calls come in about people who were doing exactly that.
Yeah, but I mean, this girl was like trying to get out of the car. She was kicking and screaming, fortunately her mother knew where she was, and the girl did make it out okay. But I mean, there were charges, and the person continued to drive. But both Uber and Lyft say that to put your minor into a ride share without a parent is against
that's
their policy.
And that's a bad idea all the way around. So
let's
say the driver is doing nothing wrong, but the kid gets a bad sensation, wants to get out right then and there. You're dropping off a minor somewhere without supervision.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Exactly. So it's bad all the way around.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that there should be an Uber for just old people to get them off of the road and out from behind the wheel.
By force, you're saying.
It's got to be, I don't know. Like, you got to figure, like, what does somebody pay for, in their car, like a month, car payment and
insurance,
right? Yeah. If you were to take that and just have like instead of an Uber, an Oldber, right? And it's just an Uber for old people and have a ton of them out there. And it's just a one-time payment. We'll take you anywhere you need to go. Get them off of the road. Thoughts, guys?
I have not thought about it, but I'm going to commit myself to thinking about it.
Oh, apparently there is something.
Go grandparents.
Okay,
there you go. Oh my gosh, that's really funny. And is it to transport them around? Yeah.
And it says all services executed by force. Yeah, there we go.
It says here, use Lyft or Uber without a smartphone. 24/7 operators watch riders and offer support. Text alerts keep families in the loop. So I don't know exactly what that's all about.
It's like those services you see advertised on the 24-hour news channels. I'd love to use a cell phone, but I can't see the numbers.
Case, I don't think the intent of this is to get people, old people, off the road.
It's to incarcerate them.
This is probably to help those who can't drive.
Right, yeah, right.
Let's call a spade a spade. This is to get old people off the road.
Okay.
I think, this is just a nice way of saying, Gladys, you shouldn't be driving anymore.
My name's not Gladys. I'm a man.
Winston, it's time for you to get off the road.
All right, so the Uber driver that was charged in this incident was Robert Beeman, and he was charged with kidnapping and other related offenses in May, yet according to reviews, he continued to drive for about 5 months.
What do you have to do to get suspended?
Well, Uber released a statement that read in part, what's been described is extremely troubling, and upon learning of it, we immediately removed the driver's access to the app. We will continue to cooperate with law enforcement. Uber went on to say that drivers can request that passengers provide a driver's license or ID card. If a rider is underage, they shouldn't be allowed to ride with them. Mm. Beeman has pleaded not guilty to the charges, and he declined to comment. Many people who visit the Jersey Shore in the summers are probably familiar with James Saltwater Taffy. Well, the company that makes the taffy is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection for the first time in its 138-year history. James Candy Company says this summer's rainy weather was the final factor in making the call after more than a decade of declining boardwalk sales. The company will continue to operate its James Candy, Freilinger Saltwater Taffy, and Bayer Chocolate Stores, as well as its online mail-order business as it tries to find a way out of the hard times. The store have a number of locations in Atlantic City, Ocean City, Wildwood, Cape May, Cherry Hill, and Cinnaminson, New Jersey.
Okay, so James, so I know Freilinger's. Is that under the James umbrella?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, so all of those stores, there's like three separate stores that they run, and it's, you know, their chocolate stores, their saltwater taffies. So the company that makes those candies are filing for Chapter 11. In sports this morning. The Sixers beat the Heat last night in Miami, 124-114. We've got that.
They did it!
Joel Embiid scored 35 points and grabbed 18 rebounds, and J.J. Redick added 25 points. Tomorrow will feature the debut of the newest Sixer, four-time All-Star Jimmy Butler, as the team travels to Orlando to play the Magic. The deal between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Sixers was officially approved by the league yesterday as Butler and Justin Patton were traded to Philadelphia in exchange for Robert Covington, Dario Saric, and Jared Bayless, along with the 2022 second-round draft pick. The Flyers, who have won three games in a row and have points in six straight games, are at home again tonight as they face the Florida Panthers. The puck drops in South Philly at 7 o'clock. In Monday Night Football, Eli Manning threw for a three-yard touchdown pass to Sterling Shepard with 53 seconds left, and the New York Giants ended a five-game losing streak by beating the San Francisco 49ers 27-23. Manning threw two touchdown passes to Odell Beckham Jr. and then led his team to the late-game winning drive with the help of a pair of third-down penalties against the 49ers. Saquon Barkley had a 23-yard catch to get the ball into the red zone, and Manning connected with Shepard on the third down to give the Giants the win. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs! For now! And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. The countdown is on. We got 3 days to the calendar release party and 13 days to the Camp Out for Hunger. These events are rapidly approaching. All the details, WMMR.com. We would love to see you at both of those multiple days if you can make it. You're more than welcome, and we appreciate the support. So we'll be banging the drum on that, trying to make this the biggest one ever. Both of these events, the calendar release party and the camp out. And by the way, the calendar is free, and it's one per person. So we're going to be at Chickies and Pete's 7 to 10 this Friday. Come and join us. Few things to get to today. Guest-wise, we are going to have Michael Fishman, who plays DJ Connor on The Connors. We're going to talk to him later on today. We're also going to get a bit of a challenge for the Camp Out for Hunger. We have a rep who's coming in this morning to push people to maybe collect yourself and collect your friends and make something happen if you're in a car club.
Yes, and there are many of them.
A little bit later on today. We also have a meet and eat. Bernie's is stopping by today. They got three locations, Hatboro, Glenside, University City on Sansom Street. So we'll get you the details on that. Hopefully some giveaways in conjunction. And obviously we have to talk at length about Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Passing away. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes, and then later on we'll expand on that as well. It was sad news yesterday. So we have a lot of stuff on our plate today, as well as a lot of things to give away. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back in just a moment, and we'll do the stupid question with a giveaway and some entertainment reports to pass along to you.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey, it's Preston from the Preston and Steve Show. This holiday season, I'm going to be buying Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift cards for my family and friends. And listen, during the Black Friday weekend, it is their buy one, get one free sale on gift cards. Visit one of their over 50 locations in your neighborhood or visit hannahandstone.com. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Do you ever wonder why everyone hates Steven Singer? Well, he makes buying a diamond easy with his 100-day no-hassle money-back guarantee and free shipping both ways, making returns and exchanges hassle-free. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Stupid question. We are going to give away $50 American Express gift card. I'll do a very easy one this morning. Name the two founders of Microsoft. 215-263-WMMR. Pretty easy. Sometimes we give you a simple one. Name the two founders of Microsoft. 215-263-WMMR. And like I said, $50 American Express gift card is what we are going to give to you. I will mention a few birthdays while we're waiting for those calls to come in. Today is Tuesday, November 13th. It's Jimmy Kimmel's birthday today.
Wow.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel, 51 years old. Never, ever, ever would have guessed that he ended up where he has.
No. The Man Show. He was on radio in Las Vegas and Los Angeles and was on Kevin and Bean for the longest time. And we would talk to him all the time with Adam Carolla when The Man Show was on.
Yeah.
And here you go. Yeah.
You know, funny and everything, but he really... He's become a host. He's become a great host.
A late night talk show host. Yep. He always comes in third place, but his ratings are very respectable, and ABC's happy with it.
He's 51 today. Gerard Butler has his birthday.
Just lost his home in the fire.
He was one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a whole list that I'll go through here in a little bit of people that flat out house burned down, all the way down.
Well, if it's any consolation, he had a movie that opened to less than stellar reviews and box office.
What was it?
Hunter Killer?
Oh, that one.
Okay.
Submarine movie.
So he's 49 today, so kind of a bittersweet.
Yeah, absolutely. Day for him today. Yeah. He seemed to be okay, though. There was the video footage of him walking around with, he had sort of, you know, a mask on from all the smoke and everything. But I like him. He's charismatic.
Yeah, me too. Whoopi's birthday. Whoopi Goldberg's birthday today. Whoopi. And Whoopi is celebrating her 63rd birthday. The View, she has been on there for a while.
And she's been supposedly going to leave two or three times. And then does, I guess it's all contract negotiations or whatever, but she seems to be a fixture.
Yeah.
I was watching TV last night and saw her in a commercial. So if it's it was new to me, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but where she talks about the brain aneurysms.
No.
Nope.
So she lost her brother to a brain aneurysm. And the entire point of this commercial was if you feel an awful headache, the worst you've ever felt, go to the doctor. It was a very odd and striking commercial and an important message to her for sure.
I remember when the news came out that she was joining the cast of Star Trek The Next Generation, and I went up to the roof and was ready to jump off.
Yeah.
And she proved to be a great character.
She's a great character.
She was a great character.
Yeah. Hey, going back to that odd, man, we're playing this because she was in Ghost.
Yes, and won an Oscar for it.
Was in another commercial that seemed, and it's not on anymore, but seemed kind of odd, is Danny Glover, the actor.
Oh, yeah.
For the people that can laugh, that laugh uncontrollably.
I'm an actor, and I can, I can go,
Yeah.
Right. It was for, what is the name of that syndrome?
I don't know. Some condition where people can't.
Yeah.
Stop laughing in inappropriate moments, and it's a real
condition. Like Tourette's?
And it was for the, it's similar, I guess, in that you can't control it. But
if you want to stop laughing, think of Whoopi.
but it was a medication that was
that's interesting.
It was promoting. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But it was out of the blue. It was like, wow, okay.
Preston,
normally a celebrity might say, I have a connection to this.
Sure. Know,
somehow or another.
But it did remind me of some sort of like offshoot of Tourette's. So I think you're right.
Yeah. So anyhow.
PBA is what it's called. I've never heard of that before either, but it's a.
Professional Bull Riders Association?
A bowling case.
Oh. People can get bowling. That?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover.
That's PBR.
Some people just start
PBR.
Riding bulls.
Yeah.
That needs to be stopped.
Needs to be stopped.
Yeah. Dinka Whoopi Goldberg, and those feelings will go away. Why did we pay for this commercial?
All right. Well, anyhow, Whoopi is 63 today. Actor Christopher Knopf. Actor Christopher Knopf. Law and Order. Sex
and the winner is actor Christopher Knopf.
Sex and the City. He is 64.
He is. He has a new role. He is playing a God.
He's playing by the God. Way, he's, by the way, who is he on Sex and the City? Like Mr.
Big,
Man,
Mr. Big.
Mr. Dude,
Mr. Dude,
Big.
Mr. Big. Big. He's on. I think he might be on Smallville or one of these sci-fi series. He's playing an evil character, and I'm having a brain fart.
Okay,
I
Tyrant. Think that's his,
what's that?
Tyrant, Manhunter, Gone, Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
There it okay. is.
Bingo.
He is 64 today. Joe Mantegna is 71. Did we talk to him recently?
Yeah,
we did.
He's great.
Love the 25th anniversary of Baby's Day Out.
Criminal Minds.
Oh, that's what it was.
Criminal Minds. And Joan of Arc and Joan of Arcadia, not Joan of Arc.
He played Joan of Arc.
He was Joan of Arc.
Hi, everybody. My name is Joan.
Yeah.
And this is my arc.
Okay. 71 today, and then the last birthday I saw is actor Steve Zahn.
Yeah.
Mainly does comedic roles, but he does dramas as well.
We had one of the weirdest interviews ever with him. Do you remember that?
It was odd, and I really liked something. Him. I didn't really like it.
No.
What
was he pushing?
I don't even remember, Case, but it was we had played Van Halen, and he went off on that at the beginning for some reason, and he wouldn't really answer questions, and he was just
yeah.
I don't know. He was in a goofy movie.
Maybe he's being artsy. I don't know.
Rescue Dawn. That's what he was. That,
that was it. Well, with Christian Bale.
Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you talk about him being a comedic actor, like, very, very dramatic in that. And Christian Bale's awesome as well.
What's it about?
I think POWs. It's a true story. Yeah. About these guys who were captured during Vietnam. And it's their time at this POW camp. And they escape and.
Wow.
I don't want to give the rest away.
It's very intense.
Yeah.
He's great in The Wonders as well. And
Reality Bites, President.
Oneiders.
Saving Silverman. The Oneiders.
Oneiders.
Exactly. All right. So he's 51 today. Let's see if we can get an answer to the super question this morning. Who are the two founders of Microsoft? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Sandy. Hi, Sandy. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Sandy.
All right, Sandy, do me a favor. Give me the two founders of Microsoft, please.
Bill Gates and Paul Allen.
That is correct.
Yeah!
Well done. Hang on there, Sandy. We are going to give you a $50 American Express gift card, and you'll be qualified for a $300 American Express gift card. You can catch Last Man Standing 5 days a week at 1 and 1:30 only on 69 WFMZ-TV. Let's get into our lead story. And it is the unfortunate news that legendary writer, publisher, and creator of Marvel Comics, Stan Lee, has died at the age of 95. My son was really bummed out to hear this yesterday. He was really upset to hear about it.
You know, so Stan Lee being so essential and pivotal in our lives, I know, you know, for me, going back forever, the Mary Marvel Marching Society decades ago, the whole damn deal, because I knew he, you know, he was up there in age. It didn't come as a shock. It was sad to hear, but it was, yeah. I was prepared for it. I think, and if we have a clip of Stan Lee, he was prepared for it.
Yeah, when I heard, I was like, oh man, but knew it was coming because stories leading up, he was going through some issues at the end here. And also, that he had filmed all the cameos for the next several Marvel movies in the event that he wasn't going to make it much farther. So
that sort of prepared you for it.
Yeah, so he was born in 1922, got his first job in 1939 as a gopher, making $8 a week at the Marvel predecessor, Timely Comics. While there, he wrote a two-page story. It was called The Traitor's Revenge. And that was used for filler in Timely's Captain America number 3 comic. And from there, he worked his way up the ladder until teaming up with another fellow colleague. And that prolific artist and businessman was Jack Kirby in 1961. And he created or co-created Black Panther, Spider-Man, the X-Men, the Mighty Thor, Iron Man, Fantastic Four, the Incredible Hulk, Daredevil, Ant-Man, among countless other characters. Later on, we'll go through a whole list of them. He died early Monday morning at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles.
His stamp, his thing, when you talk about the tectonic shift in comic books that he was part of and created, was the superhero as a flawed being.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed everything.
Yeah, because before that, they were pretty much perfect.
Antiseptic.
They could do
godlike.
Could do no wrong. His comic book creations helped push the boundaries also of censorship in comics, and took great strides in decimating stereotypical portrayals of women and people from a variety of ethnic and racial background. So we have some clips to play, Steve?
Yes.
All right. So this is how he got started.
Yeah.
I heard there was a job open at this publishing company, and they published men's magazines, and they also had a little comic book line. I applied for the job, and I found out it was for the comic book division, which was a two-man operation. And then they let me do some writing, because there was nobody else around. And for some reason that I never knew why, they got fired after a while. And so the publisher said to me, hey, can you run things until I hire an adult? And I stayed there ever since.
Nice.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's cool.
Again, it's right place, right time. And, of course, he had the talent.
Right.
He also talks about, Preston, about the movie versions. And there have been, you know, you remember when the concept of a Spider-Man movie, how the hell are they going to do that?
How will they do it?
Yeah, it was laughable. But his take on the movies that are of his work.
Well, I just love everything that Marvel has done. They've taken the things that I created, and they're making them look better than ever, and I'm getting the credit for it, and they're doing all the work. It's the greatest situation. And if I didn't like one, I wouldn't admit it, because it would be bad to do in an interview.
It's incredible what they've been able to do. They've been able to take these two-dimensional characters and pull them off the page and put them up there on the screen and do it unbelievably, man.
So prior to, just hours before learning of his death, Kevin Smith had just, I guess out of happenstance, had posted talking about Infinity War, the first one, and saying how he basically watches that virtually every day or every other day.
Yeah.
And how it's, you know, for fans of Marvel and for fans of what they can do, it's the Empire Strikes Back of the whole deal.
Yeah.
And then you find out about Stan Lee.
This is Stan talking about passing away. Here we go.
Are you afraid of dying?
No, not at all.
Do you think you go somewhere?
No. The one thing I can't understand, I can't grasp my mind around, I feel when you die, there's just nothing. It's like when you're asleep and you're not dreaming. But I can't imagine nothingness lasting forever.
That's
the thing that I cannot get.
Larry supposedly gave him great comfort because at that point, Larry had been dead for 8 years.
Oh, yeah. And there he was
able to give him some insight. But I don't want you to worry.
Yeah. This is Colbert did a tribute to.
Big pop culture fan. You know, he's a huge Lord of the Rings fan as he is, but he's also a massive Marvel fan.
Today, the world lost a legend. Marvel Comics co-founder Stan Lee, Stan the Man. Lee had a hand in creating all of your favorite comic book characters: Spider-Man, Iron Man, Black Panther. Lee was also a World War II veteran, a screenwriter, and married to his wife Joni for 70 years after they dated for 2 weeks and flew to Reno so she could get a quickie divorce and then marry Stan the same day. That's a story. So thanks for all the stories, Stan. And I know you're hearing this a lot today, but Excelsior.
We'll talk about it more later on for sure. Yeah. We have some other clips to play as well. But sad news, of course, but what a great body of work. What an amazing amount of entertainment that is still out there and will stay around for a long, 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 long time.
Well, I sort of said yesterday, you know, Marissa was looking for a quote to put up, and I said that he had the greatest superpower of all. He was able to make us feel like kids again.
Yeah, it's pretty great. All right, we're moving on for the moment. As California fires continue to rage, forcing hundreds of thousands of people to flee and killing at least 31 people, there's hundreds that are missing, by the way, which is terrifying.
Yes.
Sandra Bullock stepped up to donate $100,000 to the Humane Society of Ventura County, and her donation is going to reportedly help provide care for animals evacuated because of the fires. Also, other people stepping in for other reasons. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West took an under-the-radar step and hired private firefighters to protect their home and neighborhood.
I know it's wild, but I read the story a little bit further. They also paid for them to take care of their neighbors' houses as well.
Yeah,
so they did neighborhood, the whole block.
Yeah, so the fire was threatening.
But on the other block, it just burned right away, Preston.
The fire was threatening.
We don't know you.
Their property as of Friday.
And we're at the block party. Let it burn.
But the team of firefighters they hired doused the flames, saving their home and others in the neighborhood. Private firefighters.
So the firefighters
did not know that was even a thing.
So obviously they did some digging. I'm gonna Google it, and they found these guys who came in, and they were like badasses. They did the trench digging, and they had their own water source, and it was pretty wild.
Several celebrities have lost their homes to fire, including Miley Cyrus and boyfriend Liam Hemsworth. Gerard Butler, who we mentioned earlier, Robin Thicke, Orlando Bloom, Neil Young, all their house is gone.
Gone.
Yeah. Still more have used their spotlight, both from the stage and the People's Choice Award on Sunday and on social media, to urge people to donate to relief organizations and express their deep condolences to those who have lost their homes and loved ones through the flames.
I saw on Action News last night that Gabe Kapler lost his LA.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
well.
Right, Nick, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, sales manager, yeah.
Like completely gone.
Gone.
Yeah. Everybody was safe. Everybody's out. No, nobody was hurt. So, the, I mean, these are always the silver linings on all this kind of thing.
But. Did he have a in Calabasas or Malibu?
I don't know.
It was in Malibu.
No yeah. kidding. Wow. The Carr Jenner sisters, Lady Gaga, Bella Hadid, Katy Perry, Alyssa Milano are just a few of the boldface names standing by the victims of the fires. And they're, you know, all these people are urging you to donate if you can, whatever you can, to relief organizations, because it's going to take money to help out. This is another sad story, and I think we have a clip that Stevie sent this yesterday. Douglas Rain, the Canadian-born actor best known as the voice of HAL 9000 in 2001, A Space Odyssey, and its sequel 2010, The Year We Made Contact, died on Sunday at St. Mary's Memorial Hospital in Ontario.
The voice is iconic, Preston. And
he was 90, by the way.
Just an amazing voice. And actually, as the story goes, it was Stanley Kubrick had seen a documentary from Canada called The Universe, mm-hmm. and Douglas Rain was the narrator of that, and that voice, first off, the movie impressed him about the special effects they were able to achieve, and then the voice of the narrator caught his ear, and he remembered that when they were casting the voice of HAL 9000.
It's very smooth.
Yes.
Very smooth. Here's, we'll play a clip. Here we go.
Open the pod bay doors, HAL.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What are you talking about, Hal?
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me, and I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Where the hell did you get that idea, Hal?
Dave, although you took very thorough precautions in the pod against my hearing you, I could see your lips move.
So good.
The director, artistic director of the Stratford Festival, who was close to Douglas, said Douglas Rame was that rare artist, an actor deeply admired by other actors, the voice of HAL. In 2001, A Space Odyssey, Douglas shared many of the same qualities as Kubrick's iconic creation: precision, strength of steel, enigma, and infinite intelligence, as well as a wicked sense of humor.
Is it your favorite movie of all time, Steve?
It's in a class all its own, so it has never left the top three, and very well could be, Nick. But I mean, you know, you got some heavy hitters alongside it.
Sure, my dad showed it to me when I was a kid, and that scene scared the crap out of me. It just how nefarious but calculated HAL was. I was like, oh my God, he can read their lips.
Well, HAL is, you know, as they have a BBC interview early on where they're asking HAL, you know, and the astronauts. Is it frustrating, the interviewer, is it frustrating working with humans, basically? And not at all. You know, but then when he makes the declaration, no HAL 9000 computer has ever made an error.
Right.
And you know what's coming.
Rain, who had more than 100 television and film credits, performed with the Stratford Festival more than three decades in productions of everything from Henry V to Homeward Bound and The Merchant of Venice. So 90 years old. So sad news there, too. Riverdale star Lily Reinhart,
yes,
spoke out about her deep body insecurities and the way social media can mess with even the most polished of Hollywood starlets.
You and I hear it all the time.
All
we will
time.
Post our boudoir shots, and man, do we get it.
I've learned in my years to be numb to all of it. And
hate is going to hate.
It's taken some time. You do you, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely.
The 22-year-old...
My shot is the over-the-shoulder bathroom mirror, check this booty out.
The 22-year-old opened up at the Glamour Women of the Year Summit Sunday. She said, for the past year, I've been quietly trying to navigate my fluctuating weight, and I've faced criticism in the past for talking about my body image. People told me that I didn't have the right to talk about being self-conscious about my body because I was skinny. And I understand how it seems inappropriate for someone who is average size to talk about problems with weight gain. But my point is, I didn't think anything was wrong with my body until I was in an industry that rewards and praises people for having a smaller waist than I will ever have.
And they can be very overt about it, A. Sure. And B, you can see, and they had her, you know, they had a picture of her on a magazine, and she didn't realize they had done it, but they photoshopped her down to a stick.
Oh, really?
She's a beautiful girl.
Oh, she is.
She's stunning. And the extra, it's crazy to talk of extra
is
weight.
Is it even extra weight?
No, it's weight on her body so she doesn't die of starvation.
Yeah, right.
But it's bizarre in that acting sphere.
It's a different
really,
world.
They really nitpick at that stuff. Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, I could see where, oh, man, I got to deal with this. I didn't really think about that. I was watching, I don't know what show, I was watching one of those NCIS shows or whatever, where the entire cast is great looking no matter what.
Yeah.
My wife watches these procedurals all the time. They're on TV. And I'm looking at these guys, and I'm looking at Scott Bakula, and he was wearing like a tight shirt.
Yeah.
He was a guy who's getting close to 60, probably.
Yeah, he's in great shape.
The phenomenal shape.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, that's part of work for that person. That's part of their job. It is that going to the gym and watching what they eat is... It's labor, you know what I mean? It's part of the, you have to do it.
You're exactly right. And it's a job requirement the same way, you know, we do show prep. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Kathy, here's the difference. There's two pictures up here. They did the split screen in the studio. The picture to the left, look at the whale she is in the left picture.
And I know. First of all,
yeah, she's a stick. And they made her have like an hourglass. They pulled her waist in a little bit.
Right, exactly.
Wow. They never do that with us, Preston.
She said, I became hyper, or she said that she started obsessing over her image, especially after false rumors that she was pregnant emerged in May.
Oh my God.
Guess who's preggo? I said, I became hyper aware of my changing body. I could see the difference in my shape in photos and wondered if anyone else was noticing. I felt this strange, constant struggle of having to live up to the expectation of the appearance that I had already established to the world.
You know, but you can understand it. When we go out, people expect to be dazzled when we show up. And if we're not totally done up,
there's just
disappointment.
Yeah.
Oh, where's Preston? Oh, where's Steve? Well, I'm Steve. Oh, no, really?
She said that she started to notice how her stomach could look, quote, completely different from 1 hour to the next, and began to wonder if she had some form of body dysmorphia because of that.
Well, I keep an hourly photo stomach journal.
She also frets about the body image any future daughters of her will have.
Listen, if somebody could see a difference in an hour, you're too skinny. Okay? Well, and you drank a bottle of water.
Well, either that or she has some form of body dysmorphia. There's no difference, but you see a difference for some reason.
And when the people around you, your casting agents and all that stuff, listen, if you're going to be playing like a superhero, you probably should be in shape. And there's things like that. And, okay, if you're going to be I got it. But there's a point at which it becomes outlandish.
Absolutely. But it is a million times worse when you're famous and on social media. And when people are commenting, and if you pay attention to those comments, I can see how that would lend itself to problems.
And by the way, she's Betty on the show, right?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. They're all cool. Every single one of them is genetically ridiculously perfect.
She said, we aren't born with these insecurities. We are told to be insecure about certain things. We are conditioned to feel ashamed or embarrassed about certain parts of ourselves.
Did you say anything about the new Batman movie?
Nothing. To fight against all of our insecurities, she says we should embrace our scars, cellulite, or curves without examining the fine.
I don't even wipe anymore.
The fine.
So you've embraced.
I've embraced it.
Yeah. You've taken it above and beyond.
I'm tired of being a slave to image.
I've stopped wiping.
And I feel great. The cover of Cosmo.
Wow. let's see. Late celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain's final meal on CNN's Parts Unknown was simple. It was hard-boiled eggs consumed in a friend's apartment on the Lower East Side.
Did that show win the Emmy it was nominated for?
I don't know.
Because it was his final one. Oh, okay.
The episode aired Sunday night and followed Bourdain as he returned to his home city to reminisce with pals, including Blondie's Debbie Harry. When his friend, musician and painter John Laurie, offered him eggs, he said, I am grateful and honored. And that was the last meal that you see him eat.
We were talking with Frank Grillo about his martial arts series on Netflix, and he said that the inspiration for it was Anthony Bourdain's show. And that was the big regret is he didn't get to do an episode with Anthony Bourdain.
He was 61 years old. Pippa Middleton.
Pippa!
That's the only reason I brought it up, by the way.
And new mother Pippa, yes?
She and husband James Matthews have reportedly chosen to name their baby boy in tribute to members of both sides.
We're going to name the child Myrtle Jeff Goldblum.
Wait a minute.
Mabel.
Mabel Jeff Goldblum.
That's Nick's cat's name.
Good name. I approve. Nick approved.
No, it's a tribute to members of both sides of their family. Arthur Michael William Matthews was named to honor Pippa's late father, Michael Middleton.
Uh-huh.
Matthews' brother, Michael Matthews, who actually died in 1999 at the age of 22 while scaling Mount Everest.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Whoa.
Well, that's a cool way to go.
Yeah. The baby also shares...
Is it?
The baby also...
I think so, right? It's better than choking on a French fry.
Yeah, like it's better than just...
Sadly,
yeah.
He choked on a French fry at base camp, and that's how he died.
Dude. Damn it.
Where'd you die? Mount Everest.
Paper cut.
You just leave it at that.
Paper cut got in fact. I was filling out the forms to go up the mountain.
That would be my death.
Hey, look, even base camp's tough to get to, right?
Kathy.
I'd die before I got there.
She'd die upon learning the news that she was going to have to scale Everest.
Exactly.
The baby also shares a first name with his six-month-old cousin, Louis. The second name of Duchess Kate and Prince William.
Who's Louis? That's the queen. As we pointed out a while ago, names are very, very important.
Yes.
And it is the ultimate form of compliment and honor. And so they're certainly required to have, it's like when you set your password, you have to have a punctuation mark and a capital letter.
Yeah.
They've got to do, there's a certain set of rules they have to follow.
Yeah, there's a strict protocol and there's a struggle as well as to sometimes fighting back and forth as to what name you're going to go with. So
that's why King Cher had to fight so hard.
King Cher.
Well, you cannot go with that name.
No. A new buddy has joined the gang, but he isn't in the mood for playing. And a new trailer for Disney Pixar's Toy Story 4, Forky, screams, "I don't belong here. I'm not a toy." Per the log line, an actual spork-turned-craft project, Forky is pretty sure that he doesn't belong in Bonnie's room. So it's like one of these little crafts that the kids will make at school.
Yep.
And it's out of a plastic spork, and he is now a toy.
Look at this thing. It's hilarious.
It's great.
Because he knows there's something decidedly different about him.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, every time he tries to get away, someone yanks him back into an adventure that he'd rather skip. So, Tom Hanks, Tony Hale, Joan Cusack, and Don Rickles are among the voice cast. I would imagine that might have been Rickles last.
I guess so.
Or they... Form some Santeria ritual.
Yeah, brought him back around.
Brought him back around. These are so good. We were watching, my wife and I didn't get to see Incredibles 2 until just this weekend.
Oh, no kidding.
They're so freaking
good. It's so
good,
isn't it?
Good.
Wasn't it good?
There's such a density of comedy and stuff that's going on. You just totally get, the bang for the buck.
We were on Toy Story for like a stretch, like a really long stretch. Yeah. We had two stretches of Halloween. We were Woody and then Buzz Lightyear. So, and when it started to fade away, I was like, no, I love Toy Story.
It's so dear.
Yeah.
Well, give it a little while and then you become an adult and appreciate it again.
Yeah.
I love, like on, it's like these clickbait things on Facebook or whatever. And there was one of these things about Toy Story. It says...
Woody worked in gay porn?
No, but like, could you imagine if Woody died in Toy Story and then the kid, I forget the kid's name, all of his friends...
Andy,
all of his friends would see Andy playing with his corpse every day? Do you know what I mean? Because to him, he's not living. And then if he were to die, he'd be...
That was clickbait?
Yeah, it was clickbait. I love that stuff.
I would have gone for it.
Yeah, but that wouldn't happen because if you remember in the first movie, Scud, the kid next door, or was that the dog? The dog was Scud. But anyhow, he would rip the parts off the other dolls and stick them together and they would come back to life. So you don't have to worry about that. It wouldn't be playing with a corpse.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess maybe they are then...
They're immortal.
Immortal.
Yeah. Unless they go in the third movie, they go into the...
Blast furnace.
The incinerator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would kill anybody.
Yeah, it would, right? All right, so anyhow, Toy Story 4 lands in theaters June 21st of 2019. And you know what? Yeah, we'll get on. We'll go ahead and get to the clips now. Yeah, the clips.
Yeah. Mystery clips.
Yeah!
Hold on, I don't have a sheet.
No one move.
Nobody move. Don't bring me anything. Because when I say mystery clips, Marissa hurries to get the sheet in here. I don't want to know.
State the rules, please, Preston.
I want to play. So I'm going to play this clip. Casey, you know who they are.
I don't. So
you
I can
don't?
Play.
You can play.
All right, so Marissa, you need to put Marissa's microphone up.
We'll play the clip. And as soon as you think you know who it is, raise your hand. I will call upon you.
All right.
And you can guess as to who the person is. So mystery clip number one.
I know that there's a lot of people who never, ever want to see me in a relationship with anyone other than John Krasinski, but I'm here to challenge that because Oliver Hudson is so charming.
What is that?
Charming.
That's my buzzer.
You don't have to buzz in.
Oh.
No, Casey went up first. Okay. Hang on, let me finish
and
the clip.
And funny and warm, and he's got this great, real, laid-back quality to him.
I think her name is Jenna Fisher. All from right. The Office?
Yeah. Let me see. Yeah. You're correct.
Yeah. Yay! That's absolutely correct. Yay! She's on that show with Kate Hudson's brother.
Oh, Oliver?
And they're a divorced couple living together.
Splitting up together.
Splitting up together. It's a funny show. It's well written.
All right. Marissa, she has the description of all
that. Go ahead, Marissa.
Stuff.
Yeah, Splitting Up Together is a comedy that relies heavily on the chemistry and interaction of the characters. Here, Jenna Fisher talks about her new on-screen husband. Splitting Up Together is a new episode tonight at 9:30 on ABC.
All right, here we go. Next mystery clip. I'll play it. Raise your hand. You don't have to hit the sound effect. Right. Because I can't, I need to, it gets muddled in with the clip. So here we go.
I think in past years when Tom has directed, they've written him very light in the previous episode so that he can prep. But Tom's always directed himself. I'm not sure what that'll look like for me this year. Just really excited, you know. I think we've been doing the show for almost 100 episodes. I think all of us sort of know the rhythm at this point, and I'm excited to take that chance.
100 episodes? Nah, I'm going to guess and say that it's the chick from Big Bang Theory.
Kelly Cuoco?
Yeah, but that's wrong. I'm just guessing to throw a guess out there. Yes, it's wrong.
All right.
I don't even know who this is.
Yeah.
But I know the show and...
Play it again.
Okay.
You're not going to know
the name.
I think
in past years when Tom has directed, they've written him very light in the previous episode so that he can prep. But Tom's always directed himself. I'm not sure what that'll look like for me this year. Just really excited, you know. I think we've been doing the show for almost 100 episodes. I think all of us sort of know the rhythm at this point.
I got nothing.
That is Danielle Panabaker.
Who?
Does that help?
No.
She's in The Flash.
She's on The Flash.
She's talking about Tom, the guy who played Ed in that TV show, Ed.
There we go. Name? Okay, now I got it.
Oh, yeah. Who's the... Yeah,
Kavanaugh?
I know who you're talking
Tom
about.
Kavanaugh.
Yes,
yeah.
Tom is great.
Marissa, if you will, please.
Yes, The Flash is entering its fifth season with twists, turns, and firsts, including Danielle Panabaker directing her first episode. Oh. New episode of The Flash airs tonight at 8 on the CW.
So she plays directing. Killer Frost.
Oh. She's directing. I'm sorry?
Yeah, she plays Killer Frost. She's awesome. And the show, I'm actually... Four episodes back from the last season as well. So you lose. This is a densely written show. You know, Case.
Oh yeah,
it's completely compacted into all the multiverses out the bunghole. I think is the actual.
It got to be too much for me. I bailed on it.
Yep.
They were going in a gazillion different directions. So, but it's doing great. So good for them. All right, that's it for the entertainment report this morning. I would like to give you tickets to see Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Whoa!
We have a screening of it on Monday at 7 o'clock at the UA King of Prussia. And it hits theaters on November 21st. So we're getting you there in advance. Of course, you'll need to be there by 6:30. So we'll take five callers at 215-263-WMMR. And we will give you a pair of passes to go see the movie on Monday in King of Prussia. So give us a call right now. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us this morning.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you very much, Kathy. As I said, 13 days away from beginning our live broadcast at the Camp Out for Hunger, and we're hoping you're going to join us. We have some fun things planned. We have some guests coming by, obviously. We're going to do some kind of spectacular stuff that's a little over the top to enjoy, make it a bit of a spectacle.
And we offset that with low-key boring stuff.
That too. We make sure that we do,
We want something for everyone.
We weight it properly. And obviously, the most important thing is feeding the hungry. And there's some staggering statistics that came out recently as far as the poverty level in Philadelphia and how it's one of the highest in the nation.
Yes. So,
obviously, we need your help more than ever. So we have some other things that we want to do while we're there. And we had solicited for some people to send us in some ideas, maybe. And we got an interesting email. And I want to judge your interest level on this and open up the phones on this. So we were approached by a guy named Patrick from the Philly Wedding Company.
Yes.
And he said, hey, we do weddings in Philadelphia. How about doing something at the Camp Out for Hunger? And you know what we said? How about we offer up a mass wedding to take place at the Camp Out for Hunger and have people come down and actually get married at the event. And, you know, while you may be hungry in life, you might be hungry for love.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
So I wanted to see if there were any couples listening that might be willing and able and excited to actually tie the knot at our live broadcast at the Camp Out for Hunger.
And we're trying to meter the level of interest because we have some things planned that would make it fun and interesting and could be kind of cool. A lot of people are drawn to these sort of kitschy things. That's why the Elvis Chapel in Las Vegas is constantly booked.
Absolutely.
Somebody wants a story to tell.
All hours of the day.
Yes.
So with that, we are also working. Do we have the, is it pretty much a done deal or is it a done deal?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
That's pretty much a done deal.
Okay. Is it Cowper done deal or real deal?
So one of our sales
two
guys.
Two clicks up from Cowper.
Okay.
Matt Cowper, who if we say, all right, we get to go on that, it's pretty much a done deal. And then it ends up not being a deal at all. So that's kind of where we are with this. But, well, then I don't even know if I could say that, Case.
Well, let's just say there.
You do other things.
You do you.
You
there,
do you.
There are perks and benefits that we have lined up. And the thing is, when we say we're not talking like, you know, like a Wells Fargo size.
Yeah.
We're talking about something that we can, a decent size, a decent group of people that can all get married at once with some interesting stuff. Are you into it? Yeah. That's the question.
And we might have an added incentive for you to come down. So 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call and let's see if you might be interested in being at the Camp Out for Hunger and having us take care of the wedding for you.
By the way, mass could mean 10 couples.
It could be. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, honestly.
Yes.
More than two.
That for us wedding. Means mass.
Yeah, exactly. So already got a caller. Let me go to Steve here. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Just another beautiful day living the dream.
Wow, wonderful. Good for you.
All right, so what'd you want to tell us?
I am in with you guys. If you remember, I proposed to my girlfriend last Valentine's Day.
Okay, I think I remember that.
Yeah, remember, of course.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's been waiting long enough. If you guys are going to do a mass wedding, I mean, I got the giant tattoo from you, proposed through you. And
you've got everything.
What could be better?
Yeah. Now, by the way, by the time there's, you know, there's the plan is that by the time you leave the broadcast site, by the time the ceremony is over, you will legitimately,
legally
be married.
Yeah.
This isn't like a, hey, wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
You're going to legally be married.
Yeah. There's a tiny bit of work that needs to be done as far as getting some paperwork.
Standard stuff.
But we'll have the, we'll take care of the ceremony and we'll add some flourishes to it to make it nice.
Keepsake moments, all sorts of options.
Yeah. By the way, Steve, I think the number one thing you need to do is check with your fiancée to make sure she's cool with this as well.
I think yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That would help because we would hate to see someone there under duress. Yeah.
So let me ask Marissa because we're piecing this together right now. I know we're only 13 days away.
Well, this offer just came in.
But we're piecing this together. So Marissa, for somebody like Steve who says he wants to do it, should I turn him over to you and get there and get his information, or how do you want to handle this?
I think right now I'm going to put something up on the website. There'll be something on PrestonSteve.com
where
you can enter in all of your information.
All right.
You can send this link to your partner just to make sure that it's copacetic with them as well. And we'll get all the details that way.
Okay, so Steve, did you hear all that?
Yeah, but don't you think it would be better as a surprise?
No,
it's never.
Surprise is never good.
Yes.
Surprise is a Camp Out for Hunger or not.
Gunfire erupted at the Camp Out for Hunger today.
All right, hang on the line. Don't hang on the line. Go to the website. We'll get your information, or you give us your information.
Right.
I'm old.
Right. You're excited. You're like a bride.
I feel like you know the father.
Well, exactly.
About to have a baby.
As disorganized as it may
my
sound.
My ass hurts.
As disorganized as it may sound right now, we actually need to have some things organized in between now and when this happens. Because it is going to be legit, and we want it to be an official wedding. We want everything to, like you said, Steve, when they leave there that morning, we want them to be married and not have this be a farce.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Nick. So that is the deal. You will come down. You will be with us. You'll be with a tent full of people. We certainly have a band. We have other things. There could be very nice floral arrangements, photography. There could be a whole array of things that are worked into this.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be part of your memory.
Yeah.
But be aware. This is why you can't. I'll just spring it on him. When you leave, you will be legally married.
Casey, you gave me a thumbs up just a moment ago. What do we have a thumbs up on?
We will have a honeymoon to give away to one of our wedding participants.
And it's a real one.
One of our participants will receive a honeymoon.
Yes.
It's almost a done deal.
Do we know?
Almost completely sure.
Where this honeymoon will take place yet?
It will most likely happen in the state of Florida.
Okay.
No.
You
Kathy,
get to go to
Jacksonville.
Or Florida adjacent.
No.
Maybe
the Caribbean, but it's most likely going to be Florida.
We'll and send you to beautiful Lake Okeechobee.
The site of their planned Ramada.
But if it is in Florida, you'll have your choice of, you know, where to go in Florida.
No, like, you're getting right. This big event, this keepsake or this all sorts of interesting things going on at our one of our benchmark banner moments on the show. We would love to share it with you.
So airfare and accommodations is somewhere in FLA.
It's
for
almost a done deal. Is,
almost.
It's going to be sick.
No,
be
he sick. Didn't even say, he doesn't even say almost. He just says done deal. When done deal.
We're going to send you down to Sarasota.
Done deal.
Yeah. Trip to Gainesville.
All right, let me go to...
do you want? We just got the offer for this a couple days ago.
I mainly just want to get the interest level, and we'll see. We're going forward this week. We got one call. I'm happy.
That's it. That's a mass wedding.
Let me go to Tom. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Tom, so what's your story, man?
Well, actually, my fiance and I are both driving to work separately, and we both had the same thought when we heard she texted me and I texted her. So you want to get married in the Camp Out for Hunger? So she's like, yeah, give him a call.
Dude, we would love to be there and orchestrate that event
so
for you.
You guys are already engaged. This sounds pretty perfect, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, so what do we do, Preston?
When you get a moment, go to PrestonandSteve.com right away and in the comments, you know, say that you called in and this is Tom and we'll get you in for that, all right?
All right.
Awesome. We'll see you there to share your special day.
Hungry for love.
Absolutely. Right there in the shadow of one of the most romantic buildings in the world, Xfinity Live.
Right. You know, it's like the Eiffel Tower.
Absolutely. It's our Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. Let's go to, let me see here. I have Kathy next. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Hi, Preston.
Hi, Kathy. So what's the story with you and your love interest?
Well, John and I have been together for 7 years. We got engaged about 3 years ago, and we've been waiting for the perfect event to get married for that.
We are so happy to hear that you're delusional enough to consider this the perfect event. No, but honestly, it's kind of a cool thing. And I, you know, people love these sort of stories to tell about when did you get married? What was it like?
Yeah.
So you think you're really into it? And do you believe he'd be into it?
When your friends start texting you, this is what you need to do.
There you go.
We drive to work every morning. We listen to you. I turned to him and I said, do you want to do it? I hung up with my mother and said, I'm going to get married.
Whoa!
All right, then.
I love
what we're hearing.
All right, I'm looking at the artwork. It's already up on PrestonandSteve.com. It says Hungry for Love. So when you get to where you can get on a computer, Kathy, go on there and submit, okay?
Going on right now. Thanks.
I'm so happy for you guys.
Awesome. Oh, Preston.
Thank you, Kathy.
Oh, my God.
I love it. All right, let me go next to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm hungry for love.
Yes. All right, and how long have you been with your significant other?
We've been together for almost 5 years.
Okay, and are you guys engaged?
We've talked about getting married. And I don't have a ring yet, but, you know, we've talked about it.
Well, listen, there'd be a little bit of legwork, certainly, so we can leave it up to you to just sort of ruminate on it and go to the website to think about it, but we would love to have you there. It will be certainly a unique wedding that you'll be able to tell people for years to come, or it'll be a raging embarrassment that you never mentioned to friends.
You guys want to talk a little bit about that legwork or leave that for another time?
Yeah, Thank you, Jennifer.
Just give a basic idea.
Yeah. Nick knows the guys at Philly Wedding Company what we need.
Yeah, so. Pat has been really helpful, and these guys are wedding officiants. So what they do is official in the state of Pennsylvania, but you will need to get your marriage license in advance. So that will need to be done by Monday the 26th at the very latest.
And by the way, you head down.
That's so easy.
To City Hall.
Steve, you can do it in a half hour.
All
you have to do is go to the courthouse in your county, in your home county, and you can do that even if you live in New Jersey, but you will be married in the state of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So it'll be reflected by this state.
Do you have to do a blood test or anything?
No.
I don't believe so.
I didn't have to do that when I got married.
So years ago, they used to require them, like when I got married. No, they used to require them in some areas. But now I think it's the norm that they don't.
Can I ask why? Yeah. I've never understood.
Wasn't it to prevent, like, you marrying from your first cousin or something like that?
I think that was part of the deal to avoid incest. Now they encourage it.
Right, yeah, especially in West Virginia.
Psych. This is one cousin once removed.
Let's go to Brittany. Hey, Brittany, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Brittany, what's your situation?
Well, I've been with my boyfriend for 3 years. We have a 2-year-old son together.
That's sweet.
And we would like to get married.
Oh, man.
Okay.
And why have you guys been waiting? Has it been a money issue or just timing hasn't been right?
Well, part of us, like, we wanted to make sure, like, we weren't just getting married because, you know.
Brittany, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. But we kind of have just been, like, life happens. We've just been working a lot.
Okay.
And
all right.
Kind of get in the...
If I may, Brittany, I'm going to... From what I'm hearing and the way you sound, I think you guys are just waiting for the perfect parking lot.
But he really wants to elope, and I kind of wanted the traditional. So okay. I kind of feel like this, like, hearing this on the radio was my... And so I think we're
see,
married.
That's it. Sometimes if you're sitting there, so Brittany's there and she's thinking, you know, the wedding and blah, blah, blah. And so we mention it. It's a perfect confluence of events. We would love to have you. Do you think that you'll follow through and we will be seeing you on the wedding day?
Probably.
Okay. Well, this will give you some time to you know, to make sure everything's on the up and up.
All you got to do is get the paperwork by the 26th and you'll be good to go. It's a quick run by your city hall and you guys should have no problem with that.
All right. This sounds awesome.
All right.
Thank you, Brittany. I appreciate it. See, and that could be another thing is the money. Some people don't want to spend the money on a wedding, and I totally understand. So you just flat out can't afford it. Or you have to go through the process of family and friends and choosing who and so on and so forth. And that can be a bit arduous. How about we take care of all that? You'll be with family, us.
You are in a huge wedding tent. You already have about 500 invitees that weren't really invited.
Yes.
And you're going to have...
A wedding band.
You have a
wedding band.
You probably will have news coverage.
Yeah.
You're probably, there's going to, listen, all the things, you know the way we operate. You know the trappings that are associated with a wedding. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of stuff.
And knowing us, as we're setting this up right now, and we already have a pretty much a done deal.
It's going to be done.
It's the pretty much done deal honeymoon.
Sarasota.
But we know other people as well. And I wouldn't doubt it if, say, like Steven Singer maybe stepped up and offered something.
That's pretty much a done deal.
It seems likely.
Done deal.
Everyone's going to get to Flight to the Moon.
Right.
Done deal with the Russian.
And as this goes forward.
With the Russian space agency.
What I'm saying is there might be more added on that we might be able to give away to some of our guests or some of our wedding parties.
We're in the process of putting it together because when they said this, we love the angle of the fact that you leave legitimately married. It's not just a stunt. Hey, you're sort of married, but go follow through. No, you'll be legally married.
Yep. Steve, speaking of pretty much a done deal, I spoke with our friends at Xfinity Live yesterday.
Yes.
And you were asking about maybe being whisked away down the sidewalk to Xfinity Live for a post-wedding cocktail?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much a done deal.
Oh,
Pretty much a done deal. How about that?
When was the last time you heard of a newly married couple getting a complimentary drink?
Right.
With the big screen?
Yes, absolutely.
They'll probably have highlights from the sports events the night before.
Maybe even... poppers.
we have a lot of people calling in that saying that they want to get remarried, and I understand that. And listen, we will most definitely honor that. I think we're going to do front of the line pass to the people who want to get married for the first time.
Yes,
and we'll see how much room we have, and would gladly have people renew their vows, get remarried.
There's
so
always
on.
Room for
That's
love.
Great too. Yeah.
Yes, but you're right, Preston. We're going to give favored nation status to the people doing it for the first time.
Yeah.
However, if there is, and we can include you, we would love to.
Oh. I mean, honestly, though, 25 years ago, you really should have thought about this. Hey, is my favorite morning show going to be doing a mass wedding at a charity
in a
food drive in a parking lot?
Yeah, right. In the week after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me go to, I'll go to Samantha next. Hey, Samantha.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Samantha. How you doing?
Good. You want to know, I don't normally listen to you guys, but my honey does.
Okay.
In 10 damn years, I'm ready.
Okay. All right.
So, he has no work today, so he's not listening. I already texted him to put you guys on.
All right, here's the deal, and it is the law in Pennsylvania. If you get married in a tent outside of Xfinity, you have to continue listening to us.
And I don't have to plan anything. I love it.
Okay. All right. All right.
I love it.
I love it, Samantha. We'll make sure that you go to PrestonSteve.com, look for Hungry for Love, and fill out the form, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you,
Samantha.
Good luck. We hope to see you there.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Kathy, we were talking about getting flowers for this event. Is that pretty much a done deal, too?
You know what? I didn't contact them at all, so pretty much done deal.
Pretty much a done deal.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I have a friend who has a pickup truck. He's going to go to a cemetery and steal all the flowers.
Carl Allen, if you're listening, text me. We need a done deal on flowers.
Yeah. We'll just take off the RIP.
And you know what this feels like, Steve? It's an obscure movie called Fandango. At the end
I love Fandango.
At the end of it, they start to piece together this wedding, and they have nothing to start with. They start with just like a card table, and next thing you know, people start adding this and that and that, and it turns into this great event that's in the middle of town, and
it's
everybody's
like a potluck
there.
Wedding.
Yeah,
yes.
It's kind of like that. Ooh.
Potluck wedding. Oh, my God. That could be the asterisk.
We could get a marijuana dispensary.
Absolutely.
To be in on this. Potluck, if you have a medical marijuana card. All right. Anyhow, I like this. I like where this is going. This momentum is coming along. Hang on a second. Let me go to one more call. I have Nick on the line. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
You guys rock.
Thank you. What is your proposal?
I'm looking to get married at the Camp Out for Hunger.
All right, and who are you going to marry?
Kathy Romano.
Oh my God, done deal.
Pretty much done deal.
We never met. You sound great. Done deal.
I know. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
See you there.
Make sure I have a
just
giant
a word
ring.
Of advice: get in all your sex now
with somebody else.
At least your stuff with somebody else. Done deal. So
we
do know that if you do come down and you participate in the ceremony, that you can be registered to win a honeymoon that we're still working on the details, but it will be a location in Florida, airfare, hotel accommodations, a getaway. So that'll
be
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. They came to us, and the idea is so cool, and we figured, why the hell not? Because you have, really, banned. It is a large wedding tent that the camp out takes place in. So let's go for it.
We have confetti.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
We'll put all white confetti in.
That's perfect. I love it. We could do
rice.
There's so many things. Well, we don't. You don't do rice anymore.
Oh, you don't
for the birds.
I just thought maybe we could shoot some people.
No.
Did you know anything? The birds get sick.
So let's
get
rice.
You blow bubbles.
That's right. She hates birds.
Let's get rice. Yeah.
Take out some birds.
No, we're gonna blow bubbles.
You blow possums.
So I love it. I think this has got some legs to it.
All right, we're going to see what the response is. Now it's all our response will be to the response we see online and how many people do this. Because listen, it's not going to be 10,000 people. We want a respectable amount, and then we move forward.
Yeah, we'll have to put a cap on it. We'll figure out how many couples we want to do.
30,000.
30,000.
No, I'd say honestly, we'll keep it internal. We don't want to dissuade anybody, and but there's a fair amount that we're looking to get.
Do we have that wedding party that we were talking about?
What are you talking about?
Done deal? The from the different sports teams in the area?
I don't know. You mean like the bridesmaids and groomsmen?
It's something good.
We have two witnesses confirmed.
Oh, okay.
Which is cool.
Very good.
And do we want to give out the date yet?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You got to know when you're getting married.
It is... It's going to be on Wednesday of the Camp Out for Hunger. What's the date?
The 28th.
Okay, the 28th.
So, again, to reiterate, you have to have your marriage license that was officially given to you by your courthouse. So if you live in Delaware County, you got to go to media, get pick that up, and then bring that with you. So that's the only one step that you have to take care of. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, you have to be available that morning, Wednesday the 28th.
Yeah, so keep that morning open, the 28th. And if you can go into work late, we're looking to do it between 7:30 and 9 to have the whole thing, just to give you a ballpark.
Well, ask that you get a little dressed up.
Yeah.
You know, and do this. So, and honestly, there will be TV coverage that day.
Yeah.
So, and there'll be other things going on as well.
Wow.
And you might even get to meet Jervis.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
I don't have his number anymore.
It's a different guy, right?
It's a different guy.
That's stupid. Maybe,
somebody that else is playing Jervis?
Hey, do you want me to text that guy? Sure. Hey, do you want to pretend like you're Jervis?
Yeah, I'm Jervis Palooza.
I'm going to go to Bruno, who is on the air. Bruno, good morning.
Hey, guys. Hey. I'm really excited.
Okay. Oh. What's your story, Bruno?
I think this is just the perfect situation to get the deal done.
Are you engaged or are you going to propose?
No, I figured I'm single. I was wondering if there's another girl.
So you're starting from scratch. You want it. You're throwing it out there. You're saying if someone is interested, meeting you, getting engaged, and getting married, and it'll be legal.
Think about it this way. If it's a contest for a honeymoon and someone wants to join, it's pretty much a done deal.
Okay. Done deal.
I love him.
Yes, done deal.
Lucky here.
Done deal.
God. Bruno, you got to come to the event. All right. Thank you, man. Pretty much a done deal. Chuck D'Amico.
Morning, everybody.
Assistant Program Director of WMMR and one of our favoritest people is in the studio. What's up, man?
So, two things. Honeymoon.
Yeah.
Pretty much a done deal.
All right. All right.
Cool. November 28th.
Yes.
Is my 15th wedding anniversary.
Oh. Wow. Are you saying what I think you're saying?
Yep.
Divorce, you want to get a divorce?
Mass divorce.
I've had enough. Would you renew your vows on site?
Let's call it. Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. You know, I'll be in the back somewhere behind people that are getting married for real. But yeah, cool coincidence. So
that's wild. That's
and
great.
I'm sure Leanne would love to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your best man?
Gary Lauer. Yeah. Oh. Absolutely.
Do we involve Gary in this?
Are you kidding?
There's going to be something.
Oh, my God.
We have, there's a couple of Gary Lauer things planned.
We are in his yard, right? Because at the Wells Fargo Center is his house.
He has to have some sort of role.
Yeah.
You know, if this becomes, and I hate to...
Keeping it.
Well, no, not that. But this is a bit of a moonshot. But if
we're doing it on the moon,
if we do it this year and it's got legs and it becomes an annual event, since we're right there, wouldn't you like to fill up the entire Wells Fargo Center?
Oh yeah,
like
Reverend Sun Young Moon.
Like yeah. A Reverend
he
Moon
did it.
Mass
and
wedding.
And many of those couples had never met.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, many of them were just put together. Madison Square Garden. The cult known as the...
you know what? They don't do wing bowl anymore. Ring bowl.
Ring bowl. Oh! Boom.
Right there at the Wells Fargo.
Yeah! But you still have everyone eat ridiculous amounts of wings with strippers.
That was like a Chuck level name.
That was really good, man.
I never get those good names.
You looked right at me. I'm so jealous. I am so jealous.
Ring bowl.
Fubuari has to be retired.
let me go to Alicia. Alicia, hi, good morning.
Morning.
How you doing, Alicia?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So tell us about you, your significant other, your story.
So we've been together 5 years next month.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been engaged for about 4 years.
Okay.
And we went to plan the wedding and then ended up getting pregnant and having our son.
How did he get pregnant?
No. Just her.
Oh, just her.
Pregnant. They didn't both at the same
pregnant.
Time.
Of course. Yeah. I'm an idiot.
So it sounds like kind of like the other caller. You guys didn't want to have a shotgun wedding per se.
Yeah.
And then life takes over. You got a family and you focus on that.
Yes. And then we had to buy a house because we were living in an apartment at the time.
Yes. These are all the things that you have to deal with.
And now you
can get everything in one fell swoop. Honestly, we consider you family because, you know, we're all together in the morning. We would love to have you there for this. Do you think you will be there?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
I love it.
I mean, now she has they have all these real life, real world expenditures. So saving for a wedding is not realistic. You know what I mean?
Right.
After you start to have a family and all these things start to happen, it's like...
Listen.
How are we going to put money away for
I've
a
always
wedding?
Said I would rather have the marriage be successful and have a nice wedding. My wife and I did a very conservative wedding. It was wonderful. And this will be... But see, this is going to be something you can talk about for years. This is something that's... Yep. You're with us. It's just a whole cool, different environment. And it doesn't come along all the time. Yeah, so we would love to have you there.
All right, Alicia.
I'm excited.
All right, go to WMMR.com, PrestonSteve.com. Check that out, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
She sounds very sweet.
Let me go to, I have time for one more call, and then we got to get, then we got to move along. But I don't know if this name is right. It says Debbie.
Walper.
Debbie?
Yes, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Debbie with a B.
Oh, Debbie with a B.
Yes. Okay. Oh, my God. We got a guy for you.
My name is Walper.
Debbie, this is you've been engaged or been together with your significant other for a pretty good length of time, right?
26 years.
26
wow.
years.
And why have you waited so long to get married?
Life got in the way.
Yep.
Kids. different things, events and whatnot, and we just, every time we planned it, something would happen.
All right, so Debbie, has he been a little reticent? Has he been shuffling his feet? Or besides life, do you think if you have a good, like something kitschy and cool like this to do, that everything will follow through and we'll see you there getting married on Wednesday?
Oh, definitely. He's definitely going to be down with it. Yeah.
All right.
I love it.
Deal.
Excellent. Okay. Go to PrestonandSteve.com. Debbie, we'll see. All right. Thank you. Hang on. What is this, Casey?
All right. So intern Victoria sits right behind me here. Well, she doesn't normally sit there, but she is today. And her mom was voted Philadelphia.
I love sitting behind him.
By the way.
Let me read this note. Her mom was voted Philly's best wedding cake this year. Can she help?
Really?
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yes.
That's pretty much a done deal.
That is a done deal.
Yeah.
Done deal. It's going to be sick.
Oh, you know what? And let me mention
buttercream. Sick.
Let me mention this, too. Same-sex couples as well, most definitely.
Whatever you want.
Especially if you've had, let's say you've had an issue with the family and they don't approve of you doing that. We have an entire, we have a whole group of supporters that are going to be there to welcome you into
the fold.
You want to
marry seven people at once? I don't care. Yeah. I don't care what you want to marry. You come on down.
It's just got to be legal.
That's legal. Yeah. And the person, or people have to exist.
That too.
Yeah, you can't marry an imaginary. You can't marry like a bench.
I have a story of a guy coming up in the Bizarre File marrying an imaginary person.
It just won't work.
Tell you about that in a moment. I love this. I love where this is going. This sounds great. Sounds like we got a lot of interest in it. We are going to point you in the direction of WMMR.com or PrestonandSteve.com. Look for it. It says Hungry for Love. We wanted to throw it out there, see if the interest level was high enough to go forward with it. And yes, a lot of people are hungry for love, apparently, and want to go ahead, make that happen. We will do it on Wednesday, the 28th, so a week from next Wednesday. And the details are there and what you have to do as far as getting the paperwork and making it legal. And everybody who comes down and does get married, we'll do a random drawing and somebody's going to win a little honeymoon getaway to Florida. It's airfare and hotel accommodations. We'll nail down the specifics a little bit later on. And I think more prizes will be added on. Done deal.
Typically, it costs a lot of money to have a wedding, so the only fee for these people is to bring food to the Camp Out for Hunger in order
to get
married.
That's a very good point, Kathy.
Donation required.
Oh, we will run your ass right out of there.
Thank you very much. I love it. I love you guys.
I love you.
Beautiful.
Done deal. This is Bruce Springsteen. If you keep using this song, I'll sue you.
That's a done deal. We'll turn it off now. Done deal. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We got Bizarre File stories on
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Andorra. Because you shot me like a bad habit. How do I forget that? Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Andorra, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks our world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Ready for Bizarre File time. Let's go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's get right into it. And, let's begin with this one.
Yeah, you have to think about this.
A Zimbabwean woman has filed for divorce from her husband due to several outlandish reasons, including her husband tried to force her to have sex with a snake.
Oh, have sex with a snake?
Yes. Meanwhile, the husband countered the claim, saying that the wife was physically abusive and urinated on his church uniform.
These guys are meant for each other.
The wife, her name is Venencia Chatima, said the reason why...
Well, maybe I wouldn't have done that if you hadn't forced me to have sex with a snake.
The reason why he's divorcing me is not that I am abusing him, as he claims in this court. The real issue here is that I refuse to sleep with a snake.
Uh-huh.
What happened was that he came home with a brand new television set, and he told me that if I wanted him to bring more things at home, I was supposed to have sex with a snake. Even though I refused to sleep with the snake, I have noticed that every morning I will be feeling as if I had slept with someone. As you can see, I no longer have my front teeth. I lost them the day he assaulted me because I had entered our bedroom and caught my husband sleeping with his 25-year-old girlfriend on her matrimonial bed. The husband...
These two could stand with some counseling.
The husband, Mestvodi Makwini, responded by saying, "I want the court to separate me from this woman because we have failed to live as husband and wife. One of the main reasons why I want her out of my house is because she is in the habit of deliberately urinating on my church uniform, and I no longer have a uniform to wear when going to church.
So he still goes to church in spite of all the stuff that's going on snake sex.
She is also a violent person, and I also want her to be stopped from pulling my private parts. I have never forced her to sleep with a snake.
Wow.
I only talked about it to her in passing, and not that I was forcing her.
So he was sort of fishing. What would you think about banging a snake?
The magistrate found...
How about an air fryer if you bang a meerkat?
The magistrate found in favor of the husband, by the way.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Well, you had a better legal team.
A North Carolina man has survived a black bear attack outside his home by punching the animal in the nose.
Wow.
Sonny Pumphrey had a lucky escape on Tuesday afternoon when he went out to his driveway and discovered three bears in his yard. It appeared to be a mother and two cubs.
Ooh, that can be very dangerous.
But while the cubs ran off, the mom remained. He said that sucker was eyeball to eyeball to me. He said he reacted with reflex and started punching. He said, I hit her right dead on the point of the nose in the first shot. And when I did, she went down and started trying to bite me right here.
So he knocked out the bear?
No, she started trying to bite him. He said, I just continued pounding and pounding and pounding, and she continued trying to bite me. She got a hold of me and then shook me a little bit. Then she let go, and she took a swat at me. And when she took a swat at me, she knocked me about 8 feet over on the concrete. A Pumphrey's wife, Betty, was inside their North Carolina home about to start dinner when she heard the commotion.
What the hell's going on out there?
Going to the front door with their Yorkshire Terrier, Betty was shocked to see a bear attacking her husband. She said, I seen her stand up.
When you're done, come on in. Supper's ready.
Said, I seen her stand up and reared her paw back, and all I seen was a mouthful of teeth.
You seen nothing, woman.
She said, I knew he was going to be gone.
Now, as I was asking before, what do you think about having sex with a snake?
The dog started barking, and with Pumphrey and Betty screaming, the bear ran off. Afraid that it may return, Betty got a gun from the house and shot it into the woods. Pumphrey suffered a bite to his hip and bruises. He said, we have a lot to be thankful for because we're both very, very lucky.
May I suggest that this is no way to live?
Pumphrey will have a series of rabies shots in the coming weeks, but admits he's lucky that he's lucky to be alive. He said, I could have been dead. I could have been really cut up bad. Apparently, he's doing okay.
We're looking at the bruises. He got his ass kicked.
Hey, Deb.
Well, it's a bear.
A Japanese man has married his virtual reality hologram this month during a ceremony in Tokyo.
I bet his parents are so happy.
Akiko Kondo spent about $13,640 on a formal ceremony at a Tokyo hall and to Hatsune Miku, an animated 16-year-old hologram with saucer eyes and lengthy aquamarine pigtails.
I am proud to announce I have married an image.
Mr. Kondo's mother, along with all of his relatives, are refusing an invitation to her only son's wedding.
Why?
The softly spoken groom said, for mother, it wasn't something to celebrate.
Goddamn right.
Because you're out of your mind!
Around 40 guests watched as he tied the knot with Miku, present in the form of a cat-sized stuffed doll.
He was able to scrape up 40 people?
He was able to do it. He said,
sure, we'll be there.
He said, I never cheated on her. I've always been in love with Miku-san.
This is an upgrade from the sock he was originally going to marry.
And he said, I've been thinking about her every day a week after the wedding.
I mean, isn't it weird that not only is he marrying a hologram, but she's only 16 years old?
Yeah, is that illegal?
Right?
Right? What's the age of consent with animation in Japan?
Since March, Mr. Kondo has been living with a moving, talking hologram of Miku that floats in a $2,800 desktop device.
Yeah.
He said, I'm in love with the whole concept of Hatsune Miku, but I got married to the Miku of my house, he said.
He got married to the Miku of his house.
Looking at the blue image glowing in a capsule. He considers himself an ordinary married man. His holographic wife wakes him up each morning and sends him off to his job as an administrator at a school. He's an administrator at a school.
Holy Christ.
Yeah. In the evening, when he tells her by cell phone that he's coming home, she turns on the lights. Later, she tells him when it's time to go to bed.
She doesn't have the heart to tell him she's been cheating on him with the electric toothbrush.
He sleeps alongside the doll version of her that attended their wedding, complete with a wedding ring that fits around her left wrist.
Oh, my God. Japan has a lot of these stories.
Mr. Kondo's marriage may not have any legal standing, but he says that doesn't bother him.
Quick question.
Yeah.
If someone wants to marry a hologram out of the Camp Out for Hunger, will we allow it?
Only if it's legally binding.
Okay.
We want legal marriages only.
Right. We don't want to make this a farce. Yep. We want this to have all the reverence you would expect in a parking lot marriage.
That is correct.
Yes. So
we will have that. All right. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File. Casey, what am I giving away?
You know what? We're working on the price sheets for Bernie's. So okay. It's pretty much. Yeah. Oh, we can give them away?
Ah,
all right. Let's do that then.
I have a $100 gift card.
Ooh.
To give away to caller number 17 at 215-263-WMMR for Bernie's. And by the way, you can check out mybernies.com for locations and information, all that stuff. And they brought in this morning for us a build-your-own hand-cut cheesesteak bar.
Son of a bitch.
Uh-huh.
I saw that.
I have been to Bernie's. I have wildly enjoyed Bernie's. You will as well.
They brought in some wings. They brought in tortellini and power green salad as well. So we got a lot to choose from here, which is wonderful. And you can go have lunch, dinner, whatever it may be on us. It's $100. So we'll set you up. Caller 17.
Power!
Wow. 215-263-WMMR. Let's take a break. Come back in just a moment. We have to talk Stan Lee.
We have to.
We got to give a tribute to that gentleman that's given us so much entertainment over the years. We have more stuff coming up, too. Information on the Camp Out for Hunger you're going to want to hear. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
Yeah, I talked about this earlier this morning, but we can expand a little bit more. But Stan Lee passed away yesterday, 95 years old.
Good run.
Yeah. Oh, man. That guy had a hell of a life.
Legendary accomplishments.
Yeah.
Even, you know, you talk about, so his estimated worth at the time of death, about $50 million. There were many financial mishaps throughout his life. You know that the franchise has made billions.
Mm-hmm.
But still... ended up with it with a lot, and his adoration skipped up exponentially in the past 10, 15 years because of the movies and a whole wealth of new people who are now massive fans.
How great would that be? Near the end of your life is when you hit the height of your fame.
The ascension, You know? So you go out on the highest note possible.
How amazing is that? I didn't really consider that until now.
Because I kind of peaked in seventh grade, and that kind of sucks.
It's over.
At the last 30 years of my life.
But for him,
yeah.
I mean, and it's transcended. I know so many... It runs across all... age groups. It runs across all economic strata. It's just amazing how... permeating the Marvel Universe is, honestly, it's in many ways has saved Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just amazing. The whole superhero things or just the comic books.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. Yeah. You know, idiots. It's just these.
Well, I never got into comic books, but I never thought badly about comic books or anybody who read them. Yeah. I wasn't much of a reader, but I loved all of the TV shows and the movies and all of that sort of stuff. I don't think that my son and I would have ever really had a problem connecting, but our first real connection was over these movies, you know, starting with Iron Man however many years ago. I mean, that was the big one for us. My son is a huge Stan Lee fan. In fact, it was either last year or the year before for school, they do this wax museum thing where everybody dresses up, and so he dressed up like Stan Lee.
Wow.
I love that guy.
That would have rocked Stan Lee's world to know that. Yeah.
Yeah, Casey, I wasn't a comic book guy growing up either, but I was a Kevin Smith fan. And I love Clerks and I love Mallrats. And really, my main introduction to the impact of Stan Lee was through Kevin Smith. And his homage to Stan Lee in Mallrats especially made an impact on me. And then you guys, in particular, brought me around to the Marvel Universe. I did not read any of those books growing up. And Steve, your love and adoration for Iron Man in particular. When those movies first started coming out, I was like, more comic book stuff. You know, I was kind of on the fence about it. And now I am all in.
Yeah.
I love them. Probably not quite as much as you guys, but I certainly
You're
love
there.
Them. And none of that would have been possible without this person. And to have an impact like that on so many people is pretty remarkable.
When I was a kid, I'd collected comics, but I didn't collect Marvel comics. I'd either collected Archie and Richie Rich and but I also read the scary ones like Creepshow and stuff like that, but I never really got into. I would pick up a Captain America every now and then, Spider-Man, whatever, but I didn't become a collector until 1995. And I was late to the X-Men game, but I remember somebody telling me about this character, Wolverine, and showed me a picture. I'm like, that's a wild-looking character. He's like, oh, yeah, his bones are covered in this metal adamantium. It's the hardest substance in the universe. You could drop a building on him. It wouldn't hurt him. He can regenerate. And I'm like, he's got these knives that come out. I'm like, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. And then I started buying the comics, and I got caught up in the soap opera world of it. And I was, here I am, an adult man.
Yeah.
Like hiding the fact that I'm reading comic books. I was
I'm a heroin addict. Yeah.
No, I was a little embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
But I loved the story so much. My sister and I took a trip to Hawaii, and I remember we were in Waikiki, and she goes out to the beach, and I'm like, I'm going to stay here. I'd found a comic shop.
Oh, my God.
And I went by, and I got, like, one of the full story arcs, like Days of Future Past or whatever, that was a thick book.
Oh, it's so good.
And I just sat there for hours in the hotel room in Hawaii reading this stuff because I was so caught up on it, and I fell in love with it, and then I was a regular at the shops. They would pull the titles for me.
I used to have that.
I'd come by every week, and they'd
Big Bang Theory, straight out of it.
Set the titles aside for you, and I went through that phase. I eventually got out of it, but the X-Men universe is what I fell in love with Marvel. And then it wasn't until the movies that I was like, you know, this other stuff, the Avengers just was amazing. And they surpassed X-Men as far as the movies go. But with the comic books themselves, I was an X-Men guy.
Well, if you were to look, and I kid you not, from second grade on, my school books, which are always covered in paper bags that my mother had turned into book covers because I drew all over them, you would have seen on each book hundreds of pictures of Iron Man, Captain America. Those were the characters that I first started drawing. And I would sit there and just look at Iron Man.
Yeah.
And like, this is so cool. And that whole the whole concept. And then they used to have the animated Marvel series and the Mary Marvel Marching Society. I had my card. I was a member. and the whole deal meant so much. And throughout the ages, Preston, the thing that, you know, I love the DC stuff. Obviously, I love, you know, Batman's my favorite of all. But the thing that happened with Stan Lee and what he brought to the world of comic books these were flawed characters. The pain that Logan has throughout his life, the things that are dealt with, the real world issues that made them, you know, almost more heroic because they are dealing with regular foibles that all humans deal with, and they're still trying to carry on. You know, when you're near God level, I mean, I love the iconic imagery of Superman, but when you're Superman, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine. Every time you're Wolverine and the blades come out and they cut through your skin, it's not so pleasant.
Not only that, he didn't know who he was.
Right.
He's like an orphan, essentially, and therefore pushes people away. And they have all these psychological issues.
Yeah.
That you didn't have in your standard hero, which was, I'm here to save the day.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I don't even know if I had ever really even heard of Iron Man prior to that movie.
Yeah.
And Steve, it was like your excitement over this whole thing that really got to me. I mean, obviously, when the first trailer came out, you're like, okay, this thing is pretty badass. But, you know, I think
I might have cried when I saw that trailer.
Well, you have, and I don't know if you have it here, if it's at home, but it's the sculpture of the guy making Iron Man, right? Like the very first Iron Man?
Yeah.
As he's getting out of the cave?
Right, yeah.
That guy?
Yeah.
I was the same way. I knew about the character Iron Man, but he never really captivated me. But when I saw that trailer of the suit breaking the sound barrier and that, you know, that cone, that vapor cone, I'm like, whoa.
Well,
this is going to be awesome.
There's a whole, and we played the clip earlier of Stan Lee's take on, you're talking a multi-generational work that he's done, and how does he feel the movies have caught the flavor of what he did.
I'll play it again.
Yeah.
Well, I just love everything that Marvel has done. They've taken the things that I created, and they're making them look better than ever, and I'm getting the credit for it, and they're doing all the work. It's the greatest situation. And if I didn't like one, I wouldn't admit it, because it would be bad to do in an interview.
Preston, and you said it a few years ago, and it's still as true as ever. This is every bit like when the next Avengers movie comes, it's the best rock show that you've ever waited for.
Yeah, the band you've been waiting to tour is finally coming to town,
mm-hmm.
and you're excited about going to the show. That's how I feel about when these movies open.
Marvel, and specifically also the Russo brothers, who've been, and Kevin Feige, is that how it's?
Feige, yeah.
Oh, yeah. These guys have been honoring Stan Lee's work with incredible stuff, and the stories just keep getting better and better.
All right, up until this point, what is your favorite Stan Lee cameo to date?
I know the one.
I have one.
And it might be from Winter Soldier, or it's from Captain America versus Tony Stark. God damn it.
Civil War.
Are you Tony Stank? I think that's my favorite one. Yeah. I know my kid's favorite one, though, is from Deadpool. Next on stage, Chastity. You can't buy love, but you can rent it for 3 minutes.
I love one that's in a substandard, The Amazing Spider-Man. Where he's got headphones on in the library when the Spider-Man, and they're having a massive fight behind him, and he can't see what's going on.
Yeah,
but it's a substandard. He also has, like, you forget, he has one in the Incredible Hulk, you know, where he doesn't really even say anything. He drinks some tainted.
He drinks the soda,
right?
That was tainted with the blood. Yep.
Now the word is they've shot a couple of cameos.
Yes.
And he was aware.
Yeah.
And there's a clip of him talking about his mortality and being afraid of death with Larry King, which he was not.
There we go.
Are you afraid of dying?
No. Not at all.
Do you think you go somewhere?
No. The one thing I can't understand, I can't grasp my mind around, I feel when you die, there's just nothing. It's like when you're asleep and you're not dreaming. But I can't imagine nothingness lasting forever.
That's
the thing that I cannot get.
We didn't play this clip earlier. Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
Played Wolverine, obviously, for several films.
So think of the careers. That have been made because of what cropped up in Stan Lee's brain.
Essentially revived Robert Downey Jr.'s
Absolutely.
career. Absolutely.
Yep. Made him a Hollywood heavy hitter.
And Chris Evans. Yeah.
The whole deal.
Yeah. Here we go. This is Hugh Jackman remembering Stan Lee.
I remember Stan as a true gentleman who had this glint in his eye. He's a creative genius. He thought outside the box. He created a whole universe that changed the lives of many people, mine included. If you ever want to get a real understanding of where you're at in the world, and you think, oh, I'm Wolverine, I'm walking into Comic-Con, this is my spot, right? This is a good day for me. And I was on a red carpet, and I was the only one on there. And no one was taking my photo because at the other end was Stan Lee. And there was about 300 photographers and interviewers just all on Stan. And I was just like, anyway, Stan, God bless you. You're one of the greats.
Wow. People are texting in about great cameos. There's one I forgot about, Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a picture of him.
He's animated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he has a voice. We don't have the clip from Mallrats, do we, where Jason Lee is talking to him about the ones that he's created over the years?
The characters he's created.
Because Jason Lee starts listing off all of them. And pays homage, and it's really Kevin Smith through Jason Lee paying homage to all of the characters that that Stan Lee has created.
Well, Huffington Post has a list of 100.
Got that, and they've listed them in their order of importance, and they have a kind of a formula they went through for that. And if we get time, maybe we can go through that. If not, we'll just post it and let people check that out.
If this is a clip that you're talking about, we do have a clip from Mallrats that says Stan Lee.
I can't believe I'm standing here talking to you. You're responsible for the greats. Let's do the list. Spider-Man.
Guilty.
The Incredible Hulk.
Afraid so.
Oh, man, this is so cool. The X-Men.
Now that you mention it.
Man, you are a god.
That's awesome. Should we go to our resident comic book expert?
Yes.
Who, in fact, has a really great podcast about comics and all things.
The comic book gurus.
Yeah. Let's get our buddy Craig Ligons on the line here. Hey, Craig, good morning.
Good morning, true believers.
Hey, how you doing, man?
You know, the rain outside is just the tears of everyone that's ever been affected by Stan Lee.
Yes, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you want to weigh in about?
You know, Stan Lee was just—he was a visionary. He was a guy that shortened his name to Stan Lee because he wanted to make the great American novel. He wanted to write the great American novel, and he didn't want his real name Stan Lieber to be on the on the side of it. So he never wanted to be in comics. You know, he was an errand boy, like you said at the beginning of the broadcast. He worked under Jack Kirby, and he was going to quit Marvel. And Jack Kirby had already quit Marvel. And his wife, Stan's wife of 70 years, told him, well, if you're going to quit anyway, why don't you just write the story that you want to write? And he wrote The Fantastic Four, because that was about family. And that's when it all took off. And he didn't reach his zenith in the comic book world until he was in his late 40s, you know, his 50s. And that just goes to show that you have something that you're meant to do. It doesn't matter how old or how long you have to wait to do it. And, Preston, you mentioned yesterday about Dr. Seuss, Theodore Geisel, the way he certain books were about something else. Irritable Turtle was about Hitler, yep. And the Sneetches were about racism. Stan just took that to the forefront, and he made his creations affect the times. You know, you talked earlier, Steve, about Superman and Batman. In D.C., the cities were made up, the Metropolis and Gotham City and Star City. Stan looked outside his window and saw everything that was there. So Spider-Man was in Manhattan. Daredevil lived in Hell's Kitchen. Luke Cage lived in Harlem. The X-Men lived in Westchester, New York. These are real cities with real folks and that people can relate to. No one can relate to Superman being an alien or Bruce Wayne being a millionaire playboy. Everyone can relate to Peter Parker, you know, saving people's lives, but being a broke college student who can't pay his rent. Everyone can relate to the Hulk who, you know, you're isolated and lonely. You're so angry you want to smash everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a character like Luke Cage, the first hero of any color that said, yeah, I'll save your life, but I want to get paid. You know, I got these powers for a reason. I should be compensated for it. And, you know, the Black Panther he created, there were 70 years of comic books. There was no black superhero.
Yeah.
So Stan Lee said, how come I'm seeing, you know, the plight of the African-American here in the late 60s, and they're not even represented in comic books. So out came the Black Panther before there was a Black Panther movement. So that was all him. And, you know, the amount of lives and generations that he touches and continues to touch. I mean, there's kids now that know who this 95-year-old man is.
And, you know, which is amazing.
You talk about the subtext. The entire X-Men universe is about fear of people that are different. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. He created that during the height of the civil rights era with Preston because he saw the prejudice and racism. So he created a whole separate race just for, you know, and for people in the comics. It's like, yeah, I mean, I like black, but I really hate mutants. You know, I'll take, you know, as long as you can marry any guy, just don't marry a mutant.
Right. Right.
Can you explain to me what Excelsior is?
That was something that he signed off on when he first started getting, you know, traction in comics. And at the time, also, you remember, he thought he was going to get fired. He thought all the stuff wasn't going to work. So it was kind of like a regal way that he was going to sign off. That this was my last book, then Excelsior. This is, you know, my goodbye, my parting shot. And it just stuck, just like with his Enough Said.
Yeah, yeah. So, Craig, as you think about Stan Lee, you know, you're talking about a life full of milestones. Is there one particular achievement, one particular character, one particular, and I hate to do this to you because I know it's hard, what rises to the top for you as his greatest achievement?
His greatest achievement was knowing who he was. When I saw him at Wizard World, and, you know, like Hugh Jackman said earlier, he was mobbed by everyone. He sat and talked to everyone that wanted to talk to him. And there was one kid that was ahead of me, and he had like a stack of Marvel books, and he and Mr. Lee and Spider-Man 129, and you wrote this. And, and he let him finish. He didn't cut him off. He didn't, you know, we got to move it along. He just let the man finish. He let the fan be a fan.
Right.
And he was that to the greatest, to me, the what I saw of who he was. And my favorite cameo was in the first Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, when he looked at Tobey Maguire and said, you know, when they were looking at Spider-Man highlights on the Times Square screen, And he looked at him and said, you know, maybe one man can make a difference.
Yeah. And yeah. that's kind of the unifying message throughout all of his stuff. It's very cool. So you met him a couple times?
I met him the one time at Wizard World, and it was just a quick chat. Yeah. I'm very selfish. I wanted to have him on the podcast. I wanted to have to sit down. But I just said thank you. That's the only thing you can say. To a Stan Lee.
Now I'm gonna say something he hasn't heard before. It's always unlikely with somebody like that. You're going to talk about this on the podcast.
We're gonna do a special episode. We're gonna record it tonight. Rockstar Rob and I are gonna record a special episode of Comic Book Gurus podcast tonight in tribute to Stan Lee, and it'll be up later on this week.
Very nice. Excellent. Very nice.
All right. Thanks, Craig. We appreciate it, man.
We appreciate you guys. Thank you for giving Stan the love he deserves.
Absolutely. Take care, man. We'll see you. I was thinking of another one. Another great cameo was in. Age of Ultron, when Thor is drinking whatever it considers booze for him.
And he's
like, you can't handle this. No human can handle it. Shut up. I was in World War II. Give me.
Yeah.
They carry him out on a stretcher.
Right. What does he say as he's being carried out?
I forgot.
Excelsior.
Is that what he says?
That's what he says, yeah.
That's great.
But my favorite is the most recent one in Ant-Man 2. Where the thing shrinks right in front of his eyes, and he goes, says something along the lines of, like, man, I knew that the 60s were going to come back and haunt me.
Right.
Something like that.
I love it. Hey, here's a friend we haven't talked to in a long time. Ra is on the line.
Hey.
Dude, where you been?
Let's all go home and wipe our hand with the other ass.
Our hand with the other ass. I like it. What's up, Ra?
Hey, man, listen, first of all, shout out to Craig Ligons. I saw his Facebook post as well, and he's a very poetic guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, Stan Lee, man. I mean, I grew up wishing every comic I saw was brought to life, and in this 21st century, I don't even know how they can move upward from this besides smell-o-vision and 4D.
Yeah.
It's so great to see the things, and you forget that it's fake. You forget that it's been something that's manufactured. Stan Lee is, I mean, the fact that a lot of his stuff was realized, and I could feel it when I saw him on the screen, like him living his best life. And I would applaud. I don't know how many people. I would applaud every time he would show up in the theater. Ah, Stanley!
Yeah.
Wait for it.
Well, Rod, to the point, you know, again, you remember, we clearly remember as fans of this stuff, mm-hmm. the concept. Spider-Man, they'll never be able to do that.
Right, and it was horrible back in the 80s.
Yeah, Spider-Man was basically rappelling down the side of a building with a rope. now there's nothing they can't do on the screen. So all of this stuff that's been sitting there, these finished works, these finished story arcs are being realized. And I at this point, how do you even calculate the impact of what this guy in his brain has unleashed on the world for years and years to come. It's astonishing.
It's a part of American folklore forever, and the world folklore, actually.
Yes.
This is the stuff that makes you get up in the morning and say, you know what, I can be great. And his life, I want everybody to understand that ageism is a real thing. And Stan Lee actually succeeded against ageism. He succeeded against all the stuff people say, you still doing that? You still holding on to that dream and whatnot? He made DC step their game up. And I'm going to say Marvel. But Marvel is Stan Lee.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And it made DC step their game up. You remember how Marvel used to come on so dramatic with the flipping of the pages and the montage of the different works? And then we'll go into the one that you're going to watch. You'd be like, oh, you sink down in your seat like, it's about to
happen. Yeah, totally, man. You know, absolutely.
Started doing the same thing. And I was like, yeah, I know you're watching because DC, y'all got to step the game up because Marvel was so real. It was so crazy. And I can't wait for the Stan Lee movie. Mm. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see the Stan Lee life movie. Like, I want to see somebody, you know,
and
go through his life and what he had to go through.
Yeah, well, they're certainly worthy.
There have been a load of documentaries, but I think that'd be great. Yeah, an actual loving treatment of his life on film. And Marvel's just the studio to do it. So. Yeah.
All right, Ra, good to talk to you, man. Thanks for checking in.
Guys, man.
I love you. See you, bud. Let me go to a couple more calls here. I'm going to go to Joe. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
So when I was about 6 years old, my dad pulled a big collection of comics out of the closet that he'd had since he was a kid. And I still have them to this day, you know, pristine condition and everything. He's the first one that told me who Stan Lee was and everything. And X-Men and The Incredible Hulk was definitely my dad's favorite. And, he didn't. You know, every weekend would take me to the store, buy a new comic.
Okay. That's cool.
That bonding means everything. And I remember, and Joe, you'll probably, like on the school grounds, you know, growing up, Preston, the icebreaker was, who's your, you know, Iron Man and Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could sort of get a psychological profile of somebody when you were meeting them for the first time. That was your connection.
Yeah.
My dad, he basically told me, like, you see how these superheroes are? They don't go for the glory. Those were his favorites, were the ones he goes, they do it because it's the right thing. And that's kind of what he tried to instill in me through the comics.
Yeah, because it needs to be done.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Yeah, and my son, you know, comparing, like, who's your favorite and so forth, my son Parker's all the time will be like, all right, Dad, so would you rather have Captain America's shield or Spider-Man's shooters, web shooters? You know, and then we debate on why this one would be better than that one. And it just, you know, it's fun. It's fun conversation.
I think like in those cases, and then you can take it now. Are you more a fan of the physical, the built web slinging devices that Peter Parker has, or the conceit that arose later on,
right,
that it was a genetic part of being?
I like that one better.
In that, I think I would go with the genetic one just to hear Kathy go, ew.
Ew. Yes. I also, with the web slinger thingy, the question, there's a follow-up question. Do I have the strength to be able to swing? Because if you can't pick it up, what's the point of having web slingers if I can't even hold on to the
and that's web? That's the type of debate that I'll have. Look, if I don't have super strength, the web shooters aren't going to do anything.
I could
pin them against the wall or something like that, but I can't go swinging with it. You know,
One of the big thrills would be to take the shield up to the roof, jump off, and land on it on its side so it absorbed the impact,
all the vibration. You'd be fine.
Yeah, and none of these debates and questions would be possible without the mind of Stan Lee,
of course.
So what is stronger, adamantium or vibranium?
Oh, man.
Well, because they exist in the same universe, do they not? Well, the X-Men universe is kind of different from the Avengers universe.
Yeah.
But
they're not.
I've always thought adamantium was the ultimate. Yeah. Okay.
Adamantium was melted down to a molten level to coat his bones with.
Yeah, but there was a special bonding process that they had to use. It was very...
It was just Lysol.
The whole time it was just Lysol? Yeah. And I got that in my closet.
But vibranium has to be malleable as well, because they made it into a shield. They made it into different objects. So these you can forge all of these things, so they are able to be moved somehow or another.
But think of a universe that has us, like with Infinity War, With a genetically enhanced raccoon fighting along a Norse god.
Yeah.
I mean, that, and yet you're in hook, line, and sinker.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't even question. And I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be kind of a, I've never even heard of these guys. What is this? And a raccoon? Are you kidding me?
Talking tree that's just stupid. This brute.
And then you go in
all
the way. And like, my God, is this fun.
Dude, I love it in the last one when Groot is playing his video games. He goes, I am Groot.
Yeah.
Like, whoa!
Language!
Oh, you got a couple of acorns on here. Yeah.
I also love in the same movie when Rocket goes, he sees, Winter Soldier. He sees
Bucky.
Bucky, yeah. For the first time, he's like, ooh, I'm going to get that. right, Kathy?
Yeah.
Kathy is... She hasn't been talking a lot because she's been crying. She's been inconsolable.
Hey, listen, when I was sick in bed this weekend, Jace made me a comic book.
Aw.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Made you into a character called Pukey?
No, he didn't make me into a character. He just drew a comic book.
To make her feel better.
He's getting into comic books right now. I mean, obviously, you guys know he loves Spider-Man, Iron Man.
And The Flash.
And The Flash is his favorite. He wants to be The Flash when he grows up.
All right. I have on the line, it says Jeff from MGK, our sister station. Hmm. Jeff who? Yeah,
how are you guys? I'm down in the traffic department. How are you?
Oh, hey, Jeff.
It's downstairs. For JoJo. Okay.
Hey, what's up, Jeff?
How are you guys? I was just I was stuck in traffic here on the way into the building, so I was listening. This one hit us a little hard yesterday. I was moping around. I was talking to Ryan in our IT department and Josh in national sales. We're all just kind of like moping around the whole building yesterday. We were very upset yesterday afternoon. And Pierre played a really good tribute. He played Iron Man by Black Sabbath. And that was really cool of him. The thing that got me about Stan Lee, like I started reading comics when I was 8. I'm 39 now, so I have like a whole stack that I'm passing on to my daughter and everything. I just like his work ethic in the beginning of his career when in the 60s, like Craig was talking about, he was like the only one writing at Marvel at the time. There was like 8 titles, and he was the only writer, whereas now there's like 40 titles, and there's like 20 or 25 writers writing all these comics. He was writing every single one of them, and then a lot of them, you guys mentioned Kirby and I think Steve Ditko, who helped co-create Spider-Man. He would co-write with a lot of those.
Yeah.
But
he would help them get these characters off the ground and help flesh them out, and then they would go off and these other artists and writers would handle it. But he was sort of the grand poobah overseeing everything. And the fact that, as you're talking about, not only writing but still creating these characters, and just kept going and going. There's a list that the Huffington Post has up today, Jeff, that has just 100 characters, 100 characters ranked in order. And there are more characters than that, but it's just the amount of story, the amount of stuff, and all of these. I mean, can you even think of a real solid stinker from the Marvel Universe? There may be lesser characters, but there's not anything that jumps out to me as being absolutely horrific and dismissible. You know what I'm saying?
What I think, Steve, is some of the ones that might have been considered stinkers were later on in the 80s after Stan had retired from writing. You know, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Writers. But Stan and Kirby and Ditko really were the whole thing. And I think there's this 15-issue span of the Fantastic Four that's just, like, literally everything that's in these Marvel movies right now came from those, like, 15, 20 issues of Fantastic Four. Like, all the Black Panther, the Inhumans, the Kree aliens. Like, it's all in that, like, one, like, year gap of comics.
That's all from Fantastic Four?
Yeah, they all, like, premiered in, like, early issues of the Fantastic Four.
Wow.
Somewhere in, like, the 40s or 50s of that series.
Yeah, Rockstar Rob, who's also on the Comic Book Gurus as well, his biggest fandom goes towards the Fantastic Four, which is basically the step-off point for all of this. And the Kree, I believe, will make an appearance in
Guardians of the Galaxies. Yeah, they're going to come back around.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And you're right, because it's an alien race. Yeah.
Right. And okay. in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., in the last season, the Kree were a dominant alien force, case you remember. And it was very cool.
Is that coming back, by the way?
I think it is, for one final season.
All right, I need that.
Wow. All
right. I'll tell you one thing, and I'll let you go real quick. The best Stan, if you want to see Stan at his best, he only wrote 19 issues of the X-Men, and it's almost a complete story. And a lot of guys usually would like get laid off of comics and they wouldn't get to finish their story. He wrote like the best complete story of the 60s with the X-Men in those first 19-20 issues. And if you guys get a chance to find a reproduction of that or find it online, it's one of the best ones with the X-Men versus Magneto, and it's really good.
Okay.
That's cool stuff.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Jeff.
No problem. See you guys later.
All right. Talk to you later. Do you want me to go through some of the characters of all time?
Yeah.
Nick.
Well, I'm sure that they're in this list, Preston, but it's not just the heroes, but the villains. And the best villains in any book and in any movie are not all bad. They're not the, you know, two-dimensional or one-dimensional bad guys. Mm-hmm. Stan Lee wrote these villains that actually had some redeeming qualities.
Take Thanos.
Exactly.
You look at Thanos. Thanos thinks he's doing something good.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I always loved what the movies, when the movies came out, I really loved that they handled correctly, that they do in the comics or have all these years, is for one reason or another, there's a confusion as to what's going on, and hero fights hero. And that happens a lot in comics. And they did it in the first Avengers movie, because there's a moment where Iron Man, Thor and Captain America square off it against each other. I'm like, I love this. This is awesome.
When Thor comes jumping at Captain America
you want me to put the hammer down?
Right. And the explosion from the shield absorbing the energy.
It's awesome.
And it just lays everything to waste is awesome. Kathy, she's just giggling over here.
So
sending emails to the calendar girls.
Huffington Post went through and they used a formula to determine which of Lee's creations have had the largest impact. So take it with a grain of salt.
And they even say
know
this is going to unleash a wealth of hate mail and so on and so forth. But it's a shot at it.
Yeah, so they took the Marvel database. It says, think Wikipedia, but for people who spend their adolescent Wednesday nights at Weasel's Comic Vault. And they downloaded data on 54,000 characters included there. That's how many characters. Some of them are one-offs, but there's a lot of characters. So how do you figure out what's most important to do this? We stole a trick from Google. The way Google decides the importance of a page is by looking at the number of other pages linking to it. Likewise, we counted the number of connections each character has to other characters. So, for example, if Peter Parker went on a trip to Titan with Tony Stark and it merited a mention on his character biography, then we would count that as a connection. So
it's exposure and, the same way, yes, something will be at the top of a Google search. They're sort of using that.
So I'll just do the top 25 because there's 100 here. There's way too many to go through. And to be honest, a lot of characters I've never heard of before.
Likewise.
So
we're not Greg Lagans after
all. So we'll start with 25. Robert Drake, which is Bobby Drake. That's Iceman.
Yes.
Yep.
Who has more power than most people realize, which you find out in the comics. Warren Worthington III, and I don't remember who that is number 24. You're going to have to do searches for us real quick. Warren Worthington. It's going to be somebody and we go, oh, it's them.
Oh, come on.
Wait, Preston, it's Judd Hirsch.
No.
Oh.
It's Angel.
Yes.
He was one of the original X-Men. He was Angel, and then eventually became Archangel. Then you have Jennifer Walters. I don't know Jennifer Walters.
Oh, she was on American Idol, remember?
Was she?
Yeah.
No.
Jennifer Hudson is what you're thinking about.
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk. I've always loved She-Hulk. She-Hulk is hot, and She-Hulk actually possesses her wits.
Yes.
So she has... there's a blood transfusion she gets from the Hulk, from Bruce Banner, and the stories have changed over the years. But she's a lawyer, and she wins her cases just simply by ripping the head off of the person she's up against in court.
Wow, really?
Well, no, but well, I see. I'm not going to win this case if you don't. No, but she's very sexy.
Number 22 is Otto Octavius.
Okay,
so that's Doc Ock. There's your first villain in the top 25.
Yes. Oh, by the way, again, there's a tormented character.
Yeah.
That you understand.
Yep. Number 21 is T'Challa.
Yes.
So that's Black Panther. Number 20 is Nick Fury.
I would love to know the story behind Nick Fury.
You're going to find out.
He sold for Amway.
No way.
Captain Marvel's going to go into a lot more of Nick Fury's backstory, and it takes place in the 90s.
Nick Fury may be a really, really, really old person like Wolverine.
Yes.
They may have done some testing on him or given him, from what I understand, that he's actually older than he appears.
Black don't crack.
Totally. 19, Jean Grey.
I'm surprised she's that far down on the list.
Could be the most powerful of all of these characters as far as sheer power, because when the Dark Phoenix took over, she destroyed an entire planet. So that's pretty powerful.
And that really, that cut down on her party invites.
Yeah, it did, unfortunately. Number 18 is Clinton Barton.
Having a brain fart? Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yep, Hawkeye, whatever you want to call him.
And BJ Honeycutt.
Yeah, that's right. From
MASH.
The other superhero from MASH. Then you have Wanda Maximoff.
Number 17.
And number 17 on a list Kathy could care less about.
She's Scarlet Witch. Wanda Maximoff. Then you have Henry Pym. Hank Pym, who is the original Ant-Man.
Yes.
Number 15, Norman Osborn. Who
the
was Green Goblin. Yep.
All right, so wait.
And Harry's dad.
Harry's dad, okay.
Willem Dafoe.
Harry Osborn is, does he become a goblin of some sort?
He becomes, so there was Green Goblin and Hobgoblin, and I believe Harry in the movies was Hobgoblin.
And then there was Goblin the Nobbin.
I don't know the comic book lore of Spider-Man nearly as well as I do the movies.
I used to be much better because there's just so much to know. And, you know, there, honestly, we have to pleasure ourselves sometimes.
Number 14 is Henry McCoy, Hank McCoy.
Yes.
That's Beast. I always liked Beast a lot.
Great character.
Yeah.
Did you like Kelsey Grammer as Beast?
I did.
Yeah.
I really, because that's how he was portrayed in the comic books.
Right.
Very, very studious, wore these little glasses, and was you know, extremely intelligent, and he said witty things like, oh, my stars and garters, which was a regular for him. I always liked that character, Beast. Number 13 is Max Eisenhart, and that I don't know. And that's pretty high up.
Nick, the genius experiment? It's Magneto.
Magneto?
That's his original name.
Eisenhart? Why did I never know that?
Well, he's in the concentration camp, right?
At the beginning. Yes, right. Yeah.
Wait, is that what he calls him, though?
I don't know. Magneto's awesome, though. Yet another villain who your heart goes out to.
So in Apocalypse, when he's tried to set his life straight, he's trying. Mm-hmm. He saves a guy's life in the factory, and it ends up blowing up in his face.
Mm-hmm. So he's trying to do what he thinks is the right thing.
Right.
There's this horrible, you know, discrimination against mutants, and he's just trying to stand up for them, but takes it to an extreme level of, let's eliminate all the human beings.
Too much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is that an allegory to Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X? I read at one point that Stan Lee used that debate to frame Magneto versus Professor X.
Wow. I don't know. It's very possible.
It very well might be, Nick, you know, because they were, yeah, you know what? That makes total sense. You know, you have the any means necessary on one side with Magneto, which would be the Malcolm X, and then the Charles Xavier, let's all live together. We can learn to cohabitate together. So that's a great allegory. Jonathan Storm, Johnny Storm.
Yes.
So that's the Human Torch.
Chris Evans played two Marvel characters. Obviously, Captain America was better for him.
Agreed. So that's number 12. Number 11 is Charles Xavier, Professor X. Number 10, Scott Summers.
Number 10, Scott Summers.
And that's Cyclops.
Cyclops.
Number 9 is Matthew Murdock.
Daredevil.
Daredevil, oh, yeah. Of course. Oh. Boy, he's way up there, man.
I love Daredevil. Yeah. I've always loved Daredevil, and one of my favorite Daredevil treatments was the one Frank Miller did, who also was able to breathe life back into the Batman series.
Yeah.
But the Frank Miller Daredevil storyline is phenomenal.
All right, so Steve, I'm a little bit behind. I haven't finished the second season of Jessica Jones. Then I have to go to Luke Cage and then Daredevil. I have to go in that order, right? I can't just go and watch Daredevil, right?
You could watch Daredevil 1, Daredevil 2, Daredevil 3.
I'm all caught up except for the latest three that have come. I watched The Defenders and Iron Fist and all that. So I should probably
do it. Just right. Yeah, there's a couple things. It's not Daredevil's my favorite of the lot with the Punisher and Jessica Jones. Those are the three, but those are the three that have survived.
Here's a character Steve came around on. Stephen Strange is number 8.
I was vaguely aware of Doctor Strange, and then I really did love the movie. It was like a big M.C. Escher, you know, painting come to life. And then in the in Infinity War, when they let him do what he does, I was like, oh, okay. Now I get Dr. Strange.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was, I didn't know much about him, to be honest, until the movie hit. Then he had number 7, Victor Von Doom. So Dr. Doom.
Victor Von Doom is more of one of the rare sort of, I think, one-dimensional villains in the lot.
Very vain.
Yeah.
And just wants to satisfy himself.
Right. But we all do it sometimes.
Well, of course. You said we need time for that. Number 6 is Benjamin Grimm.
Ah.
The Thing.
Yeah. Tragic character.
Yeah, absolutely. Who
turns a... Though he does have a girlfriend in one of the Fantastic... And he has, I guess, throughout the lore. I don't know how that works out.
No.
During...
Well, that theme is common in a lot of Stan Lee's stuff, Forbidden Love.
Yes.
There was a great story arc.
I'm going to go home and bang my rock.
In X-Men, which was, Rogue and Gambit. And they were deeply in love with each other, but you can't touch Rogue. You can't have physical contact.
She'd kill you.
They couldn't kiss anything, but they had this love for each other. All right, then you have, we're in the top 5.
Top 5.
Number 5, Thor, Odin's son. Thor's awesome.
All right,
unbelievable.
Thor is awesome.
And when he arrives on the scene in Infinity War at the end.
Oh, my God.
step aside.
It's awesome.
All right, so on your list, it says Odin's son is one word.
He's Jewish.
Okay, but is his last name Odin's son? I know he's Odin's son.
Yeah, it's like somebody in Days of Yore.
Like Johnson.
Johnson, exactly.
Okay.
Thor Johnson.
Your dad's name is John. Thor Johnson.
Name is
name
Thor.
Johnson.
Johnson, Thor.
Yeah.
Your fries are ready.
Grande latte?
These are very good. Johnson, Thor. Fries are ready. You're going to fix that, buddy.
Number four is Reed Richards.
Oh.
Captain Fantastic.
We missed the number six.
Oh, Mr. Fantastic.
Not Captain Fantastic. Mr.
Yeah,
Fantastic.
And the Brown Derby.
Number four.
I would say this. I always liked the Fantastic Four. I was never hog wild for the Fantastic Four.
Me either.
Cartoon-wise, I love the Fantastic Four. Movie-wise, they kind of missed the mark
on
both of them.
And then in the reboot, they dropped the ball again.
Yeah, well, I guess it was in the Rise of the Silver Surfer when they had the Mr. Fantastic dancing on the dance floor. And I'm like, oh, God,
however,
that's so dorky.
Lawrence Fishburne as the Silvers. I love the Silver Surfer. I wish they would give him a little bit more.
That was a great character.
Yeah.
God, when I was a kid, I did like Silver Surfer an awful lot.
I drew him a lot.
Then you had, because he had the Mercury Surfboard.
Mercury Surfboard. Yeah. Freaking Mercury Surfboard. God.
We're in the top three. Number three, Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hulk.
The Hulk, exactly.
They changed the name to David when they did the TV series because they thought it sounded less effeminate.
What?
That was the that's what
it's really
Bruce,
not, yes.
Bruce is not.
Bruce was too much of a gay name?
I think that's what I read. Okay. Yes.
I wonder.
It's not like it's Percy Bannon.
Right. I wonder. You know, the alliterative names are obviously very, very big.
Yes.
In comic book lore. So Bruce Banner, you stick with that. Number two, Tony Stark. Iron Man, and this is, you know, the movies, I think, help propel that along.
Well, also stop and think about it. You know, who, Robert Downey Jr., could you be any more perfect in the casting? I remember when that first movie came out, and Jon Favreau directing and the whole deal, I was talking it up so much that my wife, who really could have given a rat's ass, got so excited that we were doing the show the day it opened up, and she texted me that she went to like a 10 o'clock in the morning matinee without me and saw it.
There is a serious omission here, because you know what number one is, right, Steve?
Yes.
Oh.
You know what name has not been said yet, and I'm looking back. Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't see it.
Huh. But this is based on the algorithm of the searches.
Then it's got to be incorrect. Hang on a second.
Because Captain America is one of the absolute foundational.
Well, was it not entirely a Stan Lee character? Cartoonists Joe Simon and Jack Kirby.
You know, you're right.
Before. Okay.
Okay, never mind.
Boom.
What about
number one is Peter Parker.
Peter Parker.
Yep. So
I think that's
Kathy!
Hey! Welcome!
Kathy has joined the conversation.
fanfare or something.
Give me something.
And
you know what that just reminded me of? In Revenge of the Nerds 2, the nerds are all going through these figures, and they're going, and I'll take the square root and the and this, blah, 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 which is 2, and 2 plus 2, and Ogre goes, 4! 4! Nice job, Kathy.
Thank you.
He was the one, I think, that Stan Lee said he most felt connected to.
Yeah?
Peter Parker.
Okay.
In just his sort of fumbling way.
Most successful of the comics, I would assume, would be Spider-Man. He's been around for so long and beloved and never got old.
Yeah.
Never got old.
Yeah.
You know? Like, by Lisa's the way, the game, Steve, I'm on the final battle right now of the game. I had to stop because I died so many times. But I'm in the final battle. This is one of my favorite video games of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, this
current
Spider-Man.
I'm about halfway through.
I
keep stopping and starting.
It's fantastic. So anyhow, we got so much from the mind of this guy, so much entertainment over the years, whether it was, you know, bonding with another person, you're, you know, a relative or making friends by talking about this stuff.
going to see these movies now have turned it into a multi-generational thing. It's so awesome.
And it's not just a comic book guy nerd thing. It's everything. The amount of women who are into this and rabidly into this and just everything. It's for everyone.
Elon Musk tweeted out yesterday about it. There's a genius right
He's
there.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, exactly. So, but 95 years, what an amazing legacy from Stan Lee. We need to take a break, but listen, I'm slacking on this. I got to give these away. I'm going to give away two of these. Let me word this properly. I have a Bernie's Bites Big Friggin' Deal card.
Yeah.
Valid for two starters, two entrees, and two desserts at any Bernie's location. It's $100 value.
Awesome.
And I'll take callers 10 and 11, and I'll give them to you. 215-263-WMMR. Bernie's in Glenside has live music the first Friday for the month, and live jazz brunch on Saturdays. That's awesome.
Get the hell out.
Bernie's Hatboro has live music every Saturday night, and Bernie's University City has rotating live jazz and blues the first Saturday of every month.
You're going to love these places.
Follow them on Facebook and Instagram for more details. 215-263-WMMR. We'll give those away. Be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey, it's Preston from the Preston and Steve Show. This holiday season, I'm going to be buying Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift cards for my family and friends. And listen, during the Black Friday weekend, it is their buy one, get one free sale on gift cards. Visit one of their over 50 locations in your neighborhood or visit handandstone.com. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Do you ever wonder why everyone hates Steven Singer? Well, he makes buying a diamond easy with his 100-day no-hassle money-back guarantee and free shipping both ways, making returns and exchanges hassle-free. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I got to mention Bernie's, the restaurant that is here right now, and they have set up a build-your-own hand-cut cheesesteak bar in the green room.
You seemed impressed.
Now, I didn't assemble an entire cheesesteak. I just had a taste of the cheesesteak beef, and it could quite be the tastiest cheesesteak meat I've ever had. Now, I can't speak on the entire sandwich yet.
But you're off to a good start.
They've marinated it in something.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Love.
So thank you to Bernie's. Marinated in love. That should be on the sign out front. Marinated in love. I'll do some more giveaways with those guys, but we want to thank them for being here, and check out mybernies.com for more information. Okay, we got a guest on the line.
Yes.
And there's a new episode of The Conners. It's on tonight, 8 o'clock on ABC. If you watch the show, you know DJ Conner. This is Michael Fishman, who is on the show this morning. Hey, Michael.
Hey, good morning.
How are you, sir?
I am fantastic.
Would you like a cheesesteak?
Well, actually, I was listening to that and thinking to myself, why am I not in the green room?
we can arrange that if you find yourself in Philadelphia sometime in the near future. Hey, so it's been an interesting season for the show. Obviously, a lot of very high-profile things have taken place with Roseanne not being on the show.
Really? What happened?
Oh, you know, you didn't hear about that, Steve?
That didn't make the news.
Yeah. How are you guys doing now that you've had some time to let all of that come and go?
Well, I think what we really did is, you know, we've known each other for 30 years, so what we really did was try to lean on each other in this moment more, even more so than maybe we did before. And I think tonight's episode's kind of an exciting episode, because I think you see the family kind of come together again and everybody kind of moving forward. And I think tonight's a really good example of what this show is and has been, but also kind of where we're headed.
Listen, there's, you know, obviously the show has always had a solid ensemble. So you have people who I mean, when you have John Goodman and Laurie Metcalf and you have people like that, you know, you have a solid cast. And then the change, the transformation I've been watching the show. It still feels like the show that I know, and the energy is still there. I guess you kind of just say, okay, we put on a show. We got to get past this. So as you're doing that, you know, and the audience is responding, they're laughing. It makes a difference, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the audience has been fantastic. Felt like there were more stories that needed to be told, and that we wanted the legacy to not end in such a way that people couldn't totally understand or enjoy the end of the show. So that was important. And now we're trying to really continue this. As long as the audience stays with us, I think the show's really growing. We're taking on some new directions. Obviously, for DJ to have his wife return,
yeah,
who's an active duty military member, Gina, played by Mylon Robinson, that's given us a new voice. And in tonight's episode, you'll see there'll be a connection to the military and having a spouse return, but also kind of reconnecting that part of the family. And you'll get a deeper understanding of how she fits into our family tonight.
When you first started the show and you were just a young actor, did you, and I don't know if this is apocryphal or if this is a fact, did you have a bit of a speech impediment or a stutter that you had to work past?
No, it's one of those things. I come from, my dad immigrated here. So at home, he spoke a lot of different languages. So probably my language skills were slightly off of what the average kid my age was. But
right.
No, I was all right.
Okay. All right. Because we had heard that story and I was like, because I remember watching the show thinking, this kid seems fine. I don't know what the story's about. But were you aware that those stories were floating around?
Well, I'm aware that there's a million stories out there, and there's always stories, some good, some bad, and many of them are not accurate over the years, especially with the advent of the internet. You can start a story and spread it pretty far, pretty fast.
Yeah, that's the big secret, is sometimes the internet is inaccurate.
Yeah, well, I used to be a high school coach, and I'll never forget, my kids came to me one day, and they wanted to know what it was like to escape from Cuba. Someone for a little while.
Oh, and I had not heard that one.
Yeah, somebody somewhere decided my Wikipedia needed a little more excitement. So they gave me his whole background.
He was Elian Gonzalez.
You were Elian Gonzalez.
Oh,
wow.
My God. No. Oh, that's too much.
My dad came from a long way away, but it wasn't Cuba. So, yeah, one of those things where,
you know, I might go with that.
You got to be careful what you believe.
I'm going to add that to my wiki page. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Listen, with you guys being the group that you've known for so long, and you had to make this change because of events that took place, what were the first couple of meetings like when you guys had to get together? It was like an awkward family moment, because you guys do indeed have some family bonds that you share with each other. Or was it, here's our deal, we've just got to go with it the way it is?
Well, you know, we never had to have a huge conversation, because we all know each other and know how we feel, and we always knew we were connected. That first table read was different. I mean, anytime you're missing a really integral part of your history, and someone who, Roseanne is an amazingly talented performer, but also a writer and a creative person. So you don't just replace that. You're never going to replace that. What you really do is what families do when they lose people, is people take on new roles and people have to step up in new ways, and you kind of find a way to move forward. And I think that's really what we've done, both on a personal level and on a professional level, is really come together to make sure that the show itself, fans are getting the show that they want and it resonates with them.
I mean, in a way, it's almost the fact that it even happened at all, that the show had been off the air for years, mm-hmm, and came back at all was miraculous. And the fact that what went down, and that you're still able to bring it back around for a second shot, this is all sort of like found money.
Well, it's funny, because it's kind of a third shot, and we've been very lucky to have ABC be willing to take a chance on us again. And then our fans have been amazing, and we really feel of a connection and a passion to make sure that we're really connecting with them and honoring that legacy that they helped build. And I think that's always been a huge part for us.
All right. Excellent. Well, listen, man, thanks for touching base. There's another episode of The Conners tonight, 8:00 on ABC. Best of luck to you, Michael. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You got it. Michael Fishman, guys. DJ Conner.
Was there a delay there?
Slight delay. In our,
I hate that.
I know. I can't say. It makes for a difficult interview. But
so how are things on the show?
They're very good, actually.
Well, listen, no delay in our next guest, and we are looking forward to meeting with him again, not out of the studio, but at the Camp Out for Hunger, which is 13 days away from today. We are now under 2 weeks.
Yes.
But he and his group have spent the last few years coming out of the Camp Out for Hunger and contributing and also challenging, which is awesome.
They've laid out the gauntlet.
Yeah. We want to welcome the president of the Porsche Club of America, Mr. Jeffrey Walton. Yay. Yes, the president, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, thanks. And I'm the president of the region, not the national.
Not the entire Club of America?
No, there's about 117,000. Okay. I represent about 2,600 of those.
Okay, all right, cool. So listen, you guys had a hell of a year. It was the fifth. This will be the fifth year?
That is correct.
Okay, and last year, you and your group, do you know the numbers offhand?
Yep, we started. The first year, we brought 7,000 pounds.
Okay.
And we ended up last year about 84,719 pounds of food.
From 7,000 to 84,000. Right. By the way, it's transported in Porsches,
right, yeah. Correct.
Right, so it's not like you're pulling up with 18-wheelers.
Well, we had help from Phil Abundance last year.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, but that's still why Jackson's still crying about it.
So he's pissing and moaning.
Yep.
So Jackson's got his Jeep Club.
Right.
And this is a wonderful, friendly rivalry, sort of friendly rivalry.
Well, blood has been drawn.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I would say this, if you are the member or a part of an 18-wheeler club, you may want to participate.
That's a great idea. Oh, yeah, my God. Long-haul truckers of
you
America.
You would win.
Yeah. So, by the way, you call your food drive Filifrunk.
Filifrunk, right. And that's because our front trunks, we call them frunks.
Okay, so the engine's in the rear,
correct.
So you have the trunk space in the front, and that's called a frunk.
Right.
And I love the way he has a logo and presentation for all this. It says Filifrunk, a literal food drive.
That is correct. Unlike Jackson, who just camps out in the parking lot and comes over, we go 29 miles from King of Prussia's Capitol Grill because they feed us first beforehand. And then we're led by Valley Forge Fire Company 29 miles down 76, 476, 95 north. And it always rains, usually, but,
Well, this year is going to be stellar, I'm already predicting. But so what you're saying is that Jackson is coming up short in the actual drive.
That's correct.
All right.
He does. His drive's about 100 yards.
Okay, 100 yards.
Yeah.
All right, wow. So listen to this. Phil Abundance said that the Porsche Club was the fourth largest donor. And not only that, they had how many Porsches last year?
We had 177.
177?
Wow. 177.
Yeah, it's a 3-mile caravan all the way down. You come down 476, and you look in those rearview mirrors, it's just nothing but blinking lights. it's incredible.
Right, it was amazing when you guys arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you doing as far as participants this year? Any idea?
We're about even from last year. Okay. So we have a reservation page on our Facebook, so you just go and register, and that tells us how much food we need for Capitol Grill to feed us, and then we're off.
All right.
Okay, but you guys, and listen, I know it's a friendly rivalry, so you want to promote
I want all the cars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things I want to do next year, and I was talking to a couple people, is maybe extend it or do a day before and do nothing but cars for a day. It has to be done on a weekend, a weekend before, and we just do cars for cans or something of that nature.
So all the car clubs can compete on one day where it's a little bit, and maybe a weekend allows a little more access to the parking lot.
Yep.
Because it is wild a lot of times when you're coming, coming during rush hour.
Oh, 2 years ago we came down in the rain, and I get a call from Brent Porsche, 2 miles from 95, and he goes, just to let you know, the Sixers game just canceled. And I was like, oh my God. I had 177 cars competing with 12,000 people coming out of the Wells Fargo
Center. It was interesting.
It was.
So this year, Jeff and the Porsche Club of America are going to be coming down Thursday night. So if you would like to see this caravan of these vehicles, which is very impressive when any of them come by, when the Jeep Club comes by with all those vehicles, it's awesome. When the Corvette crew comes by with all their vehicles, it's badass.
Who else is?
I would like to see more. I'd like to see like a Mini Cooper group come out.
They're coming. Yeah, okay. They come every year, and so they'll be a part of it again this year.
Yeah, the Nissan Leafs. Leafs.
Yeah, you know? So the Nissan, of course he is.
All six of those.
The Bolt, right. Chevy Bolt Club.
Right.
No, but there are some people that are there. I'd love to see a Mustang Club make it out. That'd be so cool.
We
man.
Used to have with it. Well, remember that it was a club that came out. I think it was the Mark 7. Do you remember that?
I don't remember. No. The Mark 7.
Do you remember the Mark 7? I think it's the Mark 7.
Okay.
The, I think it's and there were about 60 of them that came out.
All right.
But anything like that, we love it.
Yes. And you can easily get the information at WMMR.com. And by the way, Jeff has taken it to another level. They have like prize bags and stuff that they bring
out. Yeah, we do exactly what you do. Every Porsche dealership, Conshohocken, Lehigh, Mainline, Warrington, and even Delaware, they put a gift basket up, and we raise money for the volunteer fire company that way, who leads the way. Upper Marion Township Police Department, you know, closed down mall traffic.
Awesome.
You know, just for us to snake on 76. But, yeah, we give prizes away, and, you know, it's a fun time.
That's awesome, man. So we want to put the challenge out there to other clubs. And it listen, don't be intimidated by the numbers that Jeff and his crew have accrued, because it will take any amount at all. If it's a dozen cars, great. Come on out, man.
The big secret is it's just a fun time.
It right.
And you're doing something good.
And it looks really cool. And you get people that are appreciators of cars and want to see and hear your stories about the vehicles and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, between Jackson and I last year, our club's 114,000 pounds of food.
That's awesome. Sensational.
It's nuts. And he's coming down Monday, and we're coming down Thursday.
So Jackson will be broadcasting from the site on Camp Out on Monday as well. So
And so the Jeep Club's coming down then. Awesome. Jeff, you guys do great work. If people have a Porsche, they want to be a part of your club, or they want to participate in this, what's the best way to do that?
The best way is to go online on our website, I don't even have to say that anymore, but rtr-pca.org.
What is it again?
rtr-pca.org.
Okay, and we'll post that information to make it easy for everybody to find it. So, Jeff, thanks for your continued support.
All right, yeah, guys. We just piggyback on you guys, and you guys do all the work. So
we're thrilled to have you on our backs.
Couldn't do it without you. Jeffrey Walton, guys.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
The regional chapter of the Porsche Club of America. Phil Affronck. It's really cool.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. Let me give away another one of these. The Bernie's Bites Big Friggin' Deal card, valid for two starters, two entrees, two desserts at any Bernie's location. $100 value. That's our big friggin' deal, by the way, this week. So you can go to WMMR.com for details. Caller number 14 at 215-263-WMMR. We are going to set you up. Make sure you check them out at mybernies.com. We'll be back in just a
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Acme Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, beginning Monday, November 26th at Xfinity Live in South Philly. If scheduling prevents you from attending in person, you can still make a difference. Stop by your local Acme throughout November and make a donation at the register. Just look for the Camp Out can when you check out, and Acme will make sure your donation goes toward foods that Phil Abundance needs most to help area families. Go to WMMR.com/campout for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. By the way, maybe you missed it. We made an announcement earlier this morning. We were just going to take it out for a test drive and see what the response was. It looks like a lot of people want to get on board. We're going to have a wonderful wedding ceremony at the Camp Out for Hunger. It's called the Hungry for Love Day. And it's a mass wedding.
Are you ready for love?
Yes.
If you're ready for love. Okay. If you're in love.
That was our old intern, Kill Bill.
Yeah.
We had the speech jammer on
So romantic, though,
headphones.
Right?
Yeah.
And ready to get engaged.
Oh, my God. So we have a wedding company that is going to be conducting the ceremony, which is awesome.
They're the ones that sort of incited everything.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, we got the email from Patrick over at Philadelphia Wedding Company, and we have this underway. So the details or at WMMR.com and PrestonSteve.com. We've posted information on social media about it as well, and you can find out how to get involved. And this is legally binding. I mean, this is not just a showy thing. We want people to be married after this.
I think this is what makes this unique. I don't think that these things have happened before.
Yeah.
You know, stunts like this.
Sure.
This is legal.
Yeah. Here's the deal. I got a tweet from Marianne Vaughn. She's an assistant news director at Fox 29. Her tweet said,
TV coverage, hashtag pretty much a done deal.
Pretty much a done deal.
Marianne loves communicating through Twitter.
Yes, she does.
Done deal.
Yes, done deal. In fact, it
so
says...
So is Matt Cowper upset at the done deal case?
Oh, he sent me a text, Cowper did.
He listens to our show?
And it's, no, somebody told him about it.
Okay.
For the record, when I say something is good, it is.
No!
Things never fall through the cracks on my watch.
Is he serious? Or is he joking?
That's why I have to shoot the calendar at an apartment.
Yeah.
With a bachelor party?
We love Matt Cowper. He gets a lot done. That was a little bit of a misstep.
He gets a lot done, and then there are some things that he doesn't get done.
Listen, that's part of the deal.
By the way, this press release that I have here that Marissa typed up, it says, lots of done deals in the works. Check PrestonandSteve.com for updates. And we do have a honeymoon that we're going to give away. It's airfare and accommodations for a trip to FLA to Florida. So
sick.
Get the details, get on board, and let us know. I was going to put this in the bizarre file, but I don't know if it's weird enough, but I want to see if you guys saw this or not. It was in Upper Darby. Yes. Did you see the car crash that hit the telephone pole?
Oh, my God.
No.
I think who tweeted that out?
Well, Fox 29 did. That's where I saw the story.
Oh, no, it was the local police took a picture and they tweeted it out on their site.
Edmonds Avenue and Township Line Road. Do you know where that is?
This is Route 1, yeah. So I drive past it every day.
Dude hit a telephone pole. It split the pole in half and then wedged the car in between the two pieces of the pole.
Did you see it, Kathy?
I did see it.
It's insane.
Ridiculous.
It looks like the telephone pole grew through the car.
Yeah. I don't know the velocity you'd have to be going at to have that occur.
And apparently the dude that crashed needed 3 doses of Narcan.
Good Lord.
Oh,
which means he was on... Yeah. Well, he was on death's door.
Yes.
You need 3 doses of Narcan, but I've never seen anything quite like that before. And I was going to put it in the B file, but I mean, it's just a bad car accident. But you should take a look, do a search, and see if you can find this picture. It's
but
wild.
He's okay.
He lived. Okay. From what I understand, you know, let me read a little bit further into this.
That's what I read, Preston, that he had survived.
Yeah. And I don't know what his legal issues are now. I'm sure he's in a lot of trouble. He's charged with DUI and reckless and careless driving. So,
however, the souffle in the back seat was rendered uneatable.
Oh, no.
Inedible.
They didn't include that in the news story that I read.
I'm so sorry.
When things like this happen in Delco, I wonder what the degree of separation is.
Between you?
Between me and said person.
Yeah. Well, I always look to see if I recognize the name for sure.
I don't see a name yet, but I still don't know who won that.
Well, there's a name. I was going to leave it out.
Oh, okay. Oh.
But it's,
well, here. I mean, we don't have to say.
No, it's been released. I mean, it's in the report. Mariah McCarthy, McClatchy is his name.
I don't know.
27-year-old Ryan McClatchy. So. But anyhow, that's a crazy looking car accident. So thought I would share that. Not quite bizarre file worthy, but I do have some of those stories. So let's get into it. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
All right. This is brought to you by Patient First, physicians, x-rays, lab tests, and prescription drugs. 19 medical centers conveniently located in eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey. You can visit patientfirst.com. I'm going to start with a story of intuition. This had a happy ending.
All right.
But it's pretty interesting, and this is all because of this woman's feelings that she had. Nancy Abel admits that her maternal instincts may be a little overactive. At least that was her excuse for nagging a young hiker that she met along the Pacific Crest Trail in Washington State a couple weeks ago. That hiker's name is Katharina Grohn. And all Katharina did was mention to Nancy her plan to continue hiking up alone to the Canadian border.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy said she was from Germany. She had no idea what she was getting into, and she said she tried to talk her out of it. In fact, I told her, if you were my daughter, I wouldn't let you do this. Katharina, however, had already walked the first 2,500 miles of the trail.
So she was having a level of success.
She started at the Mexican border, and she was headed all the way up to Canada. And
right.
She just had 150 miles left to go.
This is the PCT, Preston?
Yeah. So Katharina brushed aside nosy Nancy's her concern.
Shut up!
And Nancy said that's the last I saw of her. But it wasn't the last of her worry. For the next 7 nights, Nancy grew increasingly restless. She knew that it was pretty late in the season to be walking that final stretch without snowshoes. When she read the forecast,
For 2 feet of snow in the mountains, Nancy went full on mother hen. She said, I really felt compelled that I needed to get help for her. So she called 911 to report a hiker who was probably at risk. Now, as a general rule, the authorities don't go looking for missing people who aren't really missing yet. The hiker hadn't put out a distress call and hadn't even missed a checkpoint yet. Somehow Nancy convinced them that her hunch was an educated one, so they went searching. The sheriff's department scoured the mountains where Nancy suggested, and that's where they spotted her. Frostbit with maybe a day left to live.
Wow.
The rescue crew said Nancy saved Katharina's life without question.
Leave me alone. I'm going to make it.
Needless to say, Nancy is sleeping much better now. She invited Katharina to stay with her for a few days before her flight back to Germany. As for Katharina, she said Nancy rescued her in more ways than one. She said someone cared. She said the whole reason that she did the hike alone was because she had kind of given up on people. She said, I lost faith in humanity. But she said she had gotten her faith back in a really big way. What a great story.
That is a great story.
And it was just her intuition. And she was a seasoned hiker. She had done 2,500 miles
she
on
just,
her own.
The feeling would not leave her.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, how about this one? We're going to slightly switch gears here a moment. A woman is suing her ex-boyfriend, claiming that his abnormally long penis stretched out her nether regions.
Oh, wow. That bastard.
Cylindil Mangena, who is from Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Her second Zimbabwe story of the morning. The other one was the sex with the snake thing.
That's
didn't
it.
We, didn't know we had that.
I did not know. Did not know that we had that.
I think I might have hurt you.
Cylindel said that her area was tight before she met her ex. Her ex, Mugovi Karima, in 2016. Karima, who it is claimed was married at the time, and Mangena had fallen in love and started a relationship. However, she told the Zimbabwe Mail that she ended the relationship in May after he stretched her out too much. She said,
listen, you're a wonderful person, but you stretched me out too much.
She said that no man can literally fill the gap that her ex left.
What about three men at once?
It has not been confirmed how big he actually is, though, but she now wants to have reconstructive surgery, which costs about $10,000, and is taking him to court in order to have him pay the fee.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, let me take a look here. There's been some structural damage over here. This is some sort of support artery.
Is this weight bearing?
I think this is, yeah. What we can do is we can come in from the backside with some rebar. I think we can do it. And probably put a planter right here if you'd like that.
So she's taking him to court in order to have him pay the fee for the reconstructive surgery.
Who wouldn't love to hear that?
Karima has not yet responded to the allegation, so he's
remained
quiet.
He's too busy being proud.
Yeah. Yeah, he's too busy going out on dates.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Three men are in custody after a woman was hurt by a booby trap on a multi-use path on Friday night. This is in Portland, Oregon. Police said that she was headed north on the path when she ran into material that was strung across it. She said, I knew this could happen. I've been told about it. Other cyclists have warned me, so I knew immediately what was going on.
Was it a wire?
This is Carlene Ostergaard. She said that knowing about this potential kind of trap, she had a plan. She put her head down and let her helmet break the rope. And she managed to stay on her bike. She said it was really painful, though. It was like a really concentrated rug burn. She suffered cuts to her face and had fibers in her eye. An ambulance was called in case that her eye was badly damaged, but she said her vision is okay. A responding officer spotted woven string spanning the path, and officers also found three men who they believed wove the string across the path, and they arrested them without incident.
What a sick bunch of idiots.
And dude's still got a mullet. We're looking at one of the mug shots here.
Those look like the Oak Ridge Boys.
They were taken to jail and booked on charges of assault and reckless endangering.
That's why, Casey, I know you bike a lot. Mm-hmm. I would have a spinning blade on the front of my helmet.
for yes. just such a situation.
Exactly.
Good
just
idea.
So you can lean down and zoop, cut right through it. It's like the Mach 5.
Safety first.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, one last gift card from Bernie's to give away, and it is Bernie's Bites Big Friggin' Deal card, which can get you two starters, two entrees, a couple of desserts at any Bernie's location, mind you.
By the way, Preston, the environment, the atmosphere of these places, very casual, very cool. You're going to love it.
Love it. Caller number 8-215-263-WMMR. And Bernie's University City, by the way, is offering Thanksgiving to go. So orders are being accepted until the 18th. What's today? Today's the 13th, so you got 5 days left. And you can. They need to be picked up Wednesday, November 21st. Main entrees, sides, and desserts are all available, and it can save you the hassle of cooking at home, so you can let them do all the work for you.
That's cool.
Their address is mybernies.com, and you can catch them in Glenside, Hatboro, and University City as well. So we'll take, did I give a number caller already?
I don't remember.
All right, so let's take call number 8-215-263-WMMR, and we're going to set you up with that. Let's take another break, come back in a second. Lesson question up when we return. Let's see if you remember something that happened earlier on the show. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do. MMR rocks.
We are the Preston and Steve Show. It is 21 minutes after 10 o'clock. And a Tuesday, as the week is kind of crawling. But it'll get there. Love to give you $500. We're going to do that with our Word of the Week prize. Ashley Home Stores, our sponsor. By the way, they are going to be our Green Room and Privileged Section sponsors at this year's Camp Out for Hunger. Yes, we are going to have the Privileged Section once again. It's a special raised, roped-off area for you to come down and sit back and enjoy the show. And we usually give away some prizes if you get into that particular section, too.
You want a fun fact? They provided some of the furniture currently in my home.
Ah.
I love those guys.
Very good. So make sure you you dress accordingly so you might get picked out of the crowd. Remember, people bring signs and all that good stuff. So,
totally forgot about that.
Yeah, we'll start reminding everybody of those the things that we have for Camp Out for Hunger because it's now less than 2 weeks away. We're going to do today's lesson question, and we're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets to the Philadelphia Wings Lacrosse Welcome Home Opener. This will be Saturday, December 15th at the Wells Fargo Center. Question I have for you is, which Thor ordered some French fries? 215-263-WMMR. He had a last name, so you got to be specific with that. Which Thor ordered some fries? 215-263-WMMR. If you know the answer, call. And we're going to do trash while you're doing that.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, sure you got some stories for us today.
Yes, well, Preston, you know, Tekashi 69 is a big supporter of Nicki Minaj. He got a dig in on Cardi B by hiring the two bartenders she recently got into a fight with to appear in his new music video. Cardi B's legal team reportedly not having any of it. They're prepared to file a writ of, nah, you didn't. While Channing Tatum is clearly having the time of his life with his new girlfriend, Jessie J, Jenna Dewan's boyfriend, Steve KZ, wanting it known he's thrilled to be with the super hot dancer slash actress. In fact, KZ says he's so ecstatic that when he goes to pick her up for a date, his penis throws him the car keys.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Kate Upton and husband Justin Verlander welcomed their first child, Genevieve Upton Verlander, on November 7th. Upton says Genevieve immediately took to her breasts, as did half the staff at the hospital.
All righty. We'll see if we can find an answer that we're looking for to this question, which... which Thor just ordered some fries? We'll go to Rob, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Rob, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Rob, which Thor ordered fries?
Thor Johnson.
Yes. Yes. That's correct. Hang on, man. We're going to set you up with a 4-pack of tickets to Philadelphia Wings Lacrosse Welcome Home Opener. And the Wings are going to face off against the Buffalo Bandits Saturday, December 15th. That's at 1 p.m. And that will be at the Wells Fargo Center. You can join the party and expect the unexpected. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, let's get into it. Brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel up this fall at Dunkin' with $2 any size. Iced coffees from 2 to 6 p.m. Try any of Dunkin's delicious flavors like maple pecan or pumpkin. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. We'll start with rock artist responding to Stan Lee's death.
Yes.
Obviously, it rocked the entire, you know, entertainment world. And a lot of rock stars were big fans of comics and a few people that chimed in. And I'm sure there's more that have come in since we've been on the air this morning. Rob Zombie wrote, "Marvel Comics was one of the best things I remember about being a kid. Thanks for everything. What would we have done without you?" Kirk Hammett offered, "Stan Lee was a visionary and a pioneer, and I owe a lot to him for personally shaping my childhood fantasy worlds, my appreciation for art on all levels, and for teaching me humanness and humility through his wonderful, insightful stories." Corey Taylor from Stone Sour and Slipknot simply said, "Heartbroken. Thank you for making me believe in heroes." Bad Wolves guitarist Doc Coyle remarked, "R.I.P. Stan Lee, true legend." And Gene Simmons, who were the subject of Kiss, was the subject of their own Marvel comic book in 1977, wrote, "Thank you for making my childhood so much more exciting with your astonishing superhero characters. Thank you for inspiring me to think and dream big. Thank you for the Hulk, Thor, Fantastic Four, and many others. You will be sadly missed.
And thank you very much for my hairstyle. I copped it from Magneto."
The helmet?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
The helmet that stops my brain from being surveyed.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, you had mentioned in that list that Magneto's name was Max something or other. And I just remembered that in those old movies, or the movies with Michael Fassbender,
yes,
that who do you call? Calls him Eric all the time.
Eric Lencher.
Yes.
Eric Lencher is what he went by, which is why the Max thing threw me off, because it's been so long since I've actually picked up the comic books and read, as opposed to watching the movie. So, Case, I always thought his name was Eric, and maybe in the earlier editions he was Max. I'm not. I'd have to go back and look up the history. Maybe, Nick, you can do a quick search on that. Doing a Magneto wiki.
The earliest version of Magneto was a singing chicken.
it says Max Eisenhart right there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So why
it says notable aliases: Magnus, Eric Lencher, White King, later Grey King of the Hellfire Club, Michael Xavier, Eric the Red.
Yes.
I remember Eric the Red. White Pilgrim and the Creator. So through various...
And Steve Urkel.
Versions and Steve Urkel.
Did I bend that?
Did I move that?
Did I move the Golden Gate Bridge?
I'm wearing you down.
Yeah, okay.
Please don't kill my mother. I hate Nazis.
He was born Max Eisenhart, and then Max, when he moved to the Ukrainian, into the Ukraine, he changed his name to Magnus. And then it says he wanted by the authorities for the deaths and destruction of Ministia, which is where he lived in Ukraine. And while searching for Magnus paid a Romanian forger to create the cover identity of Eric Lencher. Okay, so there you go. So he changed his name.
Amazing stuff.
To Eric Lencher. Yeah, there's so much detail in all those years. Moving on, Dave Grohl visited the firefighters at Fire Station 88 in Calabasas, California on Monday night, where he cooked barbecue for the crew.
Ah, he loves doing that.
Yeah, the station's Instagram page stated it was awesome to get a visit tonight from Dave Grohl.
However, he started another fire.
They said he also treated us to some of his own barbecue. Thanks, Dave. It was excellent. The station is one of many that have been fighting the already deadly fires in the Calabasas, Thousand Oaks, and Malibu areas of Southern California, which has destroyed hundreds of homes and structures while taking a handful of lives. Grohl has been working recently as a cook at The Beached Pig, a barbecue joint in the Studio City area of Los Angeles. The newly opened eatery is part of the Valley Urban Market, an outdoor food court co-founded by Dave's wife, Jordan. He also launched a new Instagram page for his Backbeat Barbecue, although it's unclear whether Dave intends to market his own brand of meats or open up a restaurant himself. But he was out serving up some food, which is cool. Mumford & Sons, holding exclusive listening events at North American Movie Theaters on Thursday. a select group of fans in Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and Toronto.
Oh, I guess Philadelphia doesn't exist.
We'll be able to experience the group's fourth album, Delta, a day before its official release.
Well, we do get the first American date on their concert tours.
Okay. All right, so that works for you? That's okay?
That's especially because it's on a Saturday.
All right.
And I like it that.
The fans were chosen through a contest Mumford & Sons announced over social media. The complete album will be played at the events and will be accompanied by visuals curated with National Geographic, a partnership inspired by the creation process of the album.
Contest is very inventive. The fans had to drink as much milk as they could before puking.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's better than eating pubic hair off of a pizza, I guess.
That's right, like we've done.
Is it a Friday, Nick? I said Saturday?
Yeah, Friday, December 7th.
Okay. That's the same thing.
Slash and his solo band Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators have shared a new music video for the song Mind Your Manners. The clip was edited together from live footage shot by fans during the group's performance at the Hollywood Palladium in Los Angeles. The footage was submitted via an app called Cinebody and then assembled by director and editor Clifton Collins to create the final Mind Your Manners clip. Slash remarked it was great to involve the fans to make this video. They did an awesome job having Clifton shoot as well, and edit together was just perfect. And then one last story. Queen is back with not one but two albums in the top 10 of the Billboard 200 charts.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, riding high in the success of the band's Bohemian Rhapsody biopic, Billboard reported that Queen has scored its highest charting album in 38 years, with the movie's soundtrack leaping from number 25 to number 3. With a 187% jump to 59,000 units sold. The new November 17th dated chart will be posted in full on Billboard's websites today.
So the soundtrack is all their Queen music. All the music featured in the movie is Queen, correct?
It's of course.
Yeah,
there's nothing else. Yeah. And I haven't looked at the track listing for the album, for the soundtrack. In addition to that, though, the band's 51-track triple album compilation, Greatest Hits 1, 2, and 3, the Platinum Collection, that was from 2000, has jumped to number 194, or from number 194 to number 9, with 39,000 units sold. So good for them, man. That's cool. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in music news this morning. We're going to break. We got one more break to take. And what is it? You know, you know what? I forgot we had this screening coming up. Ralph Breaks the Internet. It is going to be Monday at 7 o'clock, the United King of Prussia. You'll need to be there by 6:30. So we'll take another five callers and we'll give you pairs of tickets. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Let's put you on that list. And you need to be there by 6:30. Just want to remind you that again. We'll come back in a second, 11 of the day, for the Word of the Week prize. And see what Pierre's up to. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
Well, that is Ghost. And the song is Dance Macabre. I heard that for the first time the other day. It's funny because the band has this metal reputation, and everything that I've heard from them is not what I would classify as typically
in the halls of the dead.
Right.
The corpses of the profane rip out your soul. Now for our next song.
When we dance all night, it'll be all right. It's so fun.
Yeah.
It seems like a
yeah.
It's a little different.
Can you give me just another taste of that, please?
The rotting corpses of the dead rise from hell to seek more victims.
Hey, you're a cutie pie. I think I want to know you.
But they've got a great fan base, man. And actually,
welcome to hell, where the blood of the babies boil in the cauldron of the forgotten.
When we dance all night, it'll be all right. You're a cutie. Patootie.
Did you just say patootie?
It just seems weird, right?
That's a catchy song.
It is. It'll
is.
It'll
be all right.
Everything's okay. But against the backdrop of, you know, Papa Emeritus right. and Cardinal Copia and all these other nameless ghouls and everything, it just doesn't quite fit. But, you know, it works, apparently.
It is
and
what it is.
I believe, are we still going to be having Tobias Forge in the studio?
Yes.
That's going to happen?
In sometime in December. Okay. It's going to be a closed studio, so for those of you listening, no, you can't come in.
Yes.
Yeah. There will be face painting for the children and cotton candy for all.
Somebody says, I'm probably laughing my ass off, but if you listen to the lyrics of that song, it's about dancing literally to death because of the Black Plague. Well, I haven't listened to the lyrics yet.
No, yeah.
Okay.
I haven't figured that out yet, but...
At least that ties it in.
Yeah, there you go. That makes for a great dance number.
Sarah did an interview with him backstage at the MMRBQ, and he had a fairly regular speaking voice, although you could determine an accent. And then when he got on stage, all of a sudden this distinctly much more thick, I guess, German accent. Or,
that's what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, that kind of accent was on... Are you having a good barbecue?
Yeah.
But he didn't talk like that one-on-one, so I'll be fascinated to hear what he sounds like when you speak with him.
The fact that he's put together this thing, which it's cool. And again, the music is not, it's just different than I think the image. When I first heard of Ghost and I was seeing all of the imagery, I was like, okay, this is going to be some sort of like really morbid death metal or something.
It's catchy.
It is catchy.
Yeah. It's very easy to listen to.
Says, Preston, you play that song. How the F did you hear it for the first time the other day? I don't think we've ever played it on the show here, have we?
I don't know.
Listen, to say a lot of times when songs play, we go take a piss.
We actually work.
Yeah, seriously.
When the songs come on, a lot of times we have stuff to do around here. Yeah. And
you're too busy playing Night Moves on the acoustic.
I wasn't playing Night Moves. I was playing Take It Easy by the Eagles.
Sorry.
In the halls of the... Burning corpses, the maggots crawling forth.
Take it easy, take it easy. 7 women on my mind.
The fiery burning corpses of the children lament.
Oh my God.
And don't forget upon leaving that CDs and t-shirts will be for sale.
anyway. You guys are something else.
Thanks,
by the way, great conversation on Stan Lee. It was fascinating because you were completely geeking out, and there was a beauty to it because it brought out the inner children in all of you. Although I was a DC guy growing up,
likewise,
I was a Superman,
I mean,
Flash,
both, at all.
But I think people tended to go in camps. I could be wrong. I tended to veer more in the DC camp. A lot of people in the Marvel camp. It was only later I got into Marvel. But be that as it may, what was most fascinating to me about the conversation is that you guys could barely get a word in edgewise with Kathy constantly throwing in, you know, this opinion on Firestarter or, you know, Zapper or all the other.
Zapper. Peter Parker.
Yeah, Peter Parker.
Yeah, when she did say Peter Parker, she goes, Spider-Man. And then boom, she immediately...
I mean, her knowledge and her extensive fandom and geekdom was, you know...
You couldn't see it, but she was all the time sitting here with the Iron Man helmet on.
I saw it in my head.
That's why I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to hear it. It was muffled.
No, but she's come around on some. We do have conversations off air from time to time because her son Jace is into that stuff now. So she, by sort of osmosis, picks up some of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a punishment for me. That's Star Wars.
Except for the same reason we all know the theme song to Dora. You know, it's when it's the backdrop of your life because of your kids, like you can't help but know that stuff.
It's true. I want to thank, let's see, we had Michael Fishman, who's DJ Connor.
Yes.
On tonight at 8 o'clock on 6 ABC. Thank you to the president of the local chapter of the Porsche Club of America, Jeffrey Walton, who stopped by and put all the information out there about their big caravan and collections for the Camp Out for Hunger. And we urge other people in any type of club, we just say car clubs because it's fun. You get to come out and bring the cars and put them on display and everybody loves it. But whatever group, club, organization you're in, gather the troops,
yeah,
put together a donation, and come and see us.
Well, speaking of Stan Lee, we have a cosplay group that is coming by, on Thursday night, the same night as the Porsche Club.
Yes, the comic book gurus, which would be Craig Ligons and Rockstar Rob, have organized this big group of cosplay people that'll be down there for the whole event.
I'll never forget, we had a guy who had this phenomenal Deadpool suit. It might have been last year or the year before, and I posted a picture of he and I together, and somebody said, I think Deadpool needs to lay off the chimichangas. The suit was great. Not everybody is in superhero shape, and that's fine.
No.
That is fine, but it's a lot of fun when those guys come
out. Oh, and there was a guy I remember one time who came out to his comic book day. It's a classic experience for me. I love it. The guy was in an awesome Iron Man suit and locked his keys in his car.
Iron Man didn't have a gadget on his suit that could
to get into his Celica.
Get in there and open up his Celica. Oh, my God. And thank you. And thank you to Craig Ligons for jumping in on the Stan Lee conversation. Right before we were wrapping up the conversation, I saw that, and we had to wrap because of commercials, but I saw Rockstar Rob was on the phone line, too. We didn't get to go to him, but they both have this great podcast, Comic Book Gurus.
Encyclopedic knowledge of, and they both specialize in different aspects of all this stuff, but they're recording one today that's going to be a special, needless to say, tribute to Stan Lee. I would encourage you to check it out once it's up.
And Kathy will be their special guest.
Absolutely.
And I want to thank Bernice
for
being here this morning. MyBernice.com. Their food is fan-freaking-tastic. They have three locations, Hatboro, Glenside, and University City on Sansom Street. So check them out and try that cheesesteak. Man, out of this world. Should I do this or just wait till tomorrow?
Well, because it's on Thursday, I probably would maybe make a quick announcement and take one or two
now. A cursory announcement?
I'll take two people who want to quit smoking and can be here Thursday morning for the Great American Smokeout. Dr. Steven Rosenberg is coming by once again, Philadelphia's leading hypnotist and therapist, to make you stop smoking forever. We have great track record with Dr. Rosenberg, who we lovingly called Dr. Rosenpenis. And it will be on Thursday. And if you can be here in the morning, be one of our first two callers right now, 215-263-WMMR. This is Smokin', by the way. Right.
So if you are a smoking hottie and you just want to be a hottie, call in right now.
Yeah, true. Absolutely. We'll get
freaking smoker.
We'll stop that smoking. It's pretty much a done deal. So call right now.
Pretty much.
Everybody who signed up for it. Did you hear we're going to do a mass wedding?
I heard that.
Camp Out for Hunger?
I heard it.
So we're pretty excited about that. And a lot of response. So
it sounds really fun.
Yeah, it should be pretty cool.
Pierre, you're every day, Tuesday through Friday, out there?
I haven't heard what I'm doing.
I want you out there. I would like you to be out there every day.
I'd be happy to go every day.
You're officially Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday you usually come to say nice things.
Right.
Okay. So I guess I'm Tuesday through whatever. Right.
And Jackson, for the first year, will be there on Monday as well.
Yes.
We were talking about car clubs earlier. Jackson's Jeep Club will be making their massive donation on Monday, which is great. And Monday's traditionally a little bit slower, so it'll be cool to have Jackson there on a sometimes slow time.
Love it. I wub it.
What are you laughing about?
You now love it.
What are you laughing about?
I was laughing about the ghost thing.
Dancing. Everybody's dancing.
All right. Anyhow, we need to do the letter of the day. You ready?
Yes.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
I'm sorry.
Snorted.
I did.
Snort.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
A, as in apple.
And we are going to give away $500 from Ashley Home Stores, our Green Room and Privilege section sponsors for this year's camp out. Check out the Preston and Steve stand-up display in participating Ashley Home Store locations to register to win this year's Camp Out for Hunger Green Room Furniture. Entry deadline will be Sunday, November 25th, WMMR.com, to get all of the details. What's up on your show today, Pierre?
Lots of stuff. We've got a pair of tickets for Muse, the MMR concert event. It'll be the 2019 Simulation Theory World Tour coming to the Big Joint April 7th. It goes on sale Friday. And winning those tickets, and I think I have them all this week qualifies you for the grand prize trip of meeting the band in Miami and seeing the show there in March, which is way cool. And then for Workforce Blocks, we have Bob Weir and Grateful Dead, because Bob and the Wolf Brothers, including Don Was, the legendary producer who's playing in the band, is at the Fillmore tonight.
I've met Don Was. He's a nice guy.
Amazingly nice.
Yeah,
I'm hoping to get an interview with him.
Cool.
Also, Rival Sons will be on the Workforce Blocks, Block of the Scorpions, and it's Double Shot Tuesday.
Wonderful. Thank you, Pierre. I'm going to thank also our sponsors. The President and Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. And Wilmington University Graduate Studies Fair, November 14th, wilmu.edu/gradfair. Tomorrow should be cool. I love it when we have live music in the studio. The Revivalists are going to be here.
How cool.
Performing live. And we'll go on Fox Good Day, do some TV, and we'll give some stuff away, and we'll just have a jolly old time.
Yay.
That's it. We are done. Rage on, and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow night. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve. The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
This is a public service announcement to all the single ladies. If you come across a guy named Blaze, do yourself a favor. Stay away.
Next message.
So yesterday was 3 years since I met my beautiful, amazing girlfriend. Funny, I love you so much. You have a great day. Thank you, guys. MMR rock.
Next message.
You know, I was really looking forward to foliage. Some nice tree colors, but no, we had to get this nor'easter to come in here and rip all the leaves off of the trees. Now they all look like shit. So much for November foliage.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.